Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We've got the footage up at Infowars.com video. Cops tase man for refusing to ID. That's a great headline by Watson, but it should be cops torture man for failure to ID. I've seen court cases where judges have ruled the police can taser you to make you answer questions or urinate in a cup. Well, what's wrong with Abu Ghraib then? You see, if we can morally be sold on doing things that we know are classically authoritarian, all of us are going to end up having this blowback on us. And that's a major problem we face as a society. It is Thursday, the 12th day of July, 2012. One of my old-time friends, Colonel Craig Roberts, very interesting person, Oklahoma City bombing investigator, SWAT team commander, helicopter pilot, sniper in the Marine Corps in Vietnam, then in the Army, became a colonel in intelligence, worn a lot of hats, has a lot of connections to police and military. He was the first guy I ever heard like 16 years ago talk about the plan to bring in foreign troops who actually had evidence of it. Now that's mainstream news. Like, well, of course foreign troops are going to fight the evil Americans. I mean, the Washington Post says it's needed. And of course the Boy Scouts are training to report on their parents and report them to the government. I mean, that's patriotism. Of course, of course. Alex Jones told you about it 15 years ago, but he's still a kook, but it's all true, though. Colonel Craig Roberts has got some breaking news. He's going to be joining us. And then we've got Hayden Perry, the CEO of Oxitec. They're coming out with the mosquitoes that supposedly can help reduce dengue fever, a particular species. Obviously, I'm a large critic of this. The plan is to release them inside of the United States, lower 48, in Florida to begin with. And they carry a protein that sterilizes the mosquitoes that they breed with. The problem is that the company says no problem getting any of that DNA in you, even though you know how a mosquito gets your blood and your plasma, right? They inject you with saliva. Or it'd be like trying to suck up a brand new malt where it's basically frozen. You can't suck it up the straw. That's the best kind of malt. That's how I got fat, was drinking malt years ago. I don't get to have them anymore. And you can't seem to suck up the strawberry malt or whatever. That's because it's so thick. And there's coagulating agents, platelets in our blood. And so mosquitoes inject. They pump in a whole bunch of saliva, so they sit there. It then helps liquefy and thin your blood, and then slurp. They slurp up the goodies. And so I want to have a little discussion with the CEO, who we appreciate coming on the show. So that is the guest that we have joining us today. We have a ton of other extremely important news, obviously, that we're going to be covering in great detail. Bush is now putting a human face on African intervention. Citizen Bush has his new assignment, put a human face on AFRICOM's military intervention in Africa, hugging little black children. Of course, Bill Gates does that as well, right before they get paralyzed from the polio injection. Also, Agenda 21 micro apartment scheme being beta tested in New York City. The model is charge you more for less. Jack taxes up so high and regulations that you live, like they do in many areas of Tokyo, in a coffin, basically, that slides out of the wall and has a TV set in it. So they can just bombard you with brainwashing 24/7. People are like, well, that's the new economy. No. That's the economy meant to totally take control of our lives, charge us more for less. That's the globalist, anti-free market, anti-expansion, post-industrial New World Order model, being spearheaded by the captain, control freak in chief, mayor, I want to ban your guns, Bloomberg, and ban your milk products and popcorn and your sody pop, but have some GMO and have some gangbangers.
He's the T-Rex of political talk.
Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
The planned de-evolution breakdown of Europe, the United States, Canada, Australia, New Zealand has begun. The United Nations and global social engineers are on record saying they want a post-industrial world where we're all made to be poor, except for tiny globalist elites that have diplomatic immunity. We're now seeing the big banks get diplomatic immunity, GMO companies get diplomatic immunity. This is the world government model. A total police state where they all have immunity and we have absolutely no rights and are ruled over by paramilitary armies and robot fleets of drones and ground forces. That's the MIT public plan, and it's all happening. Big broadcast lined up for you today, but we see the trend emerging of this planned implosion taking place while those imploding the society pose as the saviors. And while most of the minions of the system actually believe they're doing good as they execute our downfall. If we don't figure this out as a society, 99.9 plus percent of us, it's not the 1% that's bad. People making over, you know, $250,000 a year in the 1%. That's how poor they've made this country, even with inflation. That's what somebody making $60,000 a year, you know, in the 70s was equivalent to somebody making a quarter mil a year. If you look at the numbers, we used to be 4% of the world's population. We had 50-plus percent of the money. Now we're about 6% of the world's population. We got about 35% of the money. It's all being sucked out by design, as the corporate media tells us. It's our debt, and we need to pay more taxes for austerity. No amount of taxes or tickets or money or fines will ever pay off the debt because it was made to be so big, the derivatives predominantly, 1.5 quadrillion worldwide, 644 trillion according to Washington Post, that's a conservative number we've been signed on to, that there's no way to ever pay it back because we don't owe it. And it's designed to be the equivalent of a trillion-pound ball and chain. And the biggest ball and chain we can pull, even the strongest man, might be 1,000 pounds. Well, you can't pull a trillion pound ball and chain. It'd be like tying a giant chain, each link weighing, you know, as much as an aircraft carrier, around your little leg and then tying it to Mount Everest. It ain't moving. You're not moving one link the size of the aircraft carrier. Okay? I mean, when you pull back, I mean, by the way, that's not even an exaggeration analogy. In fact, I don't even know if, I bet Everest weighs a trillion pounds. Look up how much they estimate Mount Everest weighs. I'm sure there's an estimate on that. The point is that when you've got 1.5 quadril, and that's an old number, a lot of estimates are it's at about 2 trill right now. They take all the bailout money and put it into not fractional reserve banking. Only the big six banks are allowed to do this. They put it in and leverage it to infinity, or as close as you can get to it. So, here is the trend emerging, and we're going to be talking about this with Colonel Craig Roberts coming up. Chicago police sergeant, tribal warfare on the streets, total collapse basically happening there, and that's the plan. You take all the guns from the law-abiding, they follow the rules. You have the state police throw the book at anybody caught owning a gun in the Chicago area. Or if you're 87 years old, I see this all the time, and get sick and forget to renew your yearly gun card, they're waiting to SWAT team, mainly old people, because they got sick, had a heart attack, whatever, their daughter didn't renew the card. They take all the guns, arrest the old man, arrest the old woman. A lot of times the old man dies, the old woman doesn't know the rules, they arrest her, throw the book at her, drag her up before a piranha-like jury that just hammers them to hell with pleasure. Because that's the new America. Ladies and gentlemen, so how many metric tons? 6 billion, 6 trillion. So see, Mount Everest only weighs 6,399 metric tons. Then you got to calculate that into pounds. But so see, when I talk about 1.5 quadrillion, 1,500 trillion, we're talking about trying to drag Mount Everest around, basically. It's a good guesstimation there, because how many pounds go into a metric ton? And then you've got a times the 6 trillion. So how many pounds go into a ton? And then that times 6 trillion to round it off, round it down. Point is, we're not dragging this debt around. It's not our debt. It's a fraud. Our debt's 15 trillion the bankers have induced us into. So you got that going on because it's a crime zone with MTV gangbanger culture. Families have been gone for decades. We're now 2-3 generations into no families. General public being fed on. Most people, government workers that have jobs. And most of these gangbanger types, black, white, it doesn't matter, can hardly even talk. And it's just a collapsing society, scientifically crafted. And then, of course, the culture, Viacom and all of it, exports that culture and makes that the majority culture for the young people. When you put your child in a public school, even in many rural areas, you're sending them to learn how to have gangbangers 3 or 4 years older than them beat them up until they basically join their little club. It's not even a gang. You send your daughters to school so that the kids that have flunked 4 or 5 grades are now adults can have sex with them, give them venereal diseases, and get them on opium shipped in by the U.S. government. But again, it's good to be in public schools. You know. I went to a wealthy suburb school of Dallas, and it was hellish. Hellish. I mean, at the time, I was having a lot of fun in big knockdown, drag-out fights with blood everywhere and going out with a different girl every week and, all of this. But now I look back on it with horror, and I barely survived it. I would never imagine my children being in something like that. And my parents were naive. They grew up in the 50s. So they thought, hey, we live out in the edge of Dallas, nice, you know, area. Everything's going to be fine. So that's what you do. Yeah, there it is, Chicago police sergeant. Tribal warfare on the streets. And it just goes into the total collapse of the society. Continuing here, many California cities are going to cease to exist. That is in the article via the LA Times. And they go on to report how they will no longer exist. Throughout the state, local governments are slashing services to avoid bankruptcy. For some, it's too late. And again, they raise taxes because they all invested in derivatives. That was stolen. And now they're told, you've got to raise taxes. You've got to take houses. You've got to write more tickets. And then that implodes the economy, further depressing things. So in many of these cities, they've laid off up to 75% of the police force. And they openly announce in Michigan, California, many other states, the 25, 30, 40%, depending on the city, they're only going to revenue generate now. So you have a purely predatory cops, and they remind me of engineers the last 20 years, who would get a six-month job training their replacements in India or China and then lose their job. It's the same thing. You're not going to have jobs either when they're done with you. And, of course, California, when they passed the carbon tax, the final nail, 20-plus percent pass through the economy, and there's a giant exodus now as people leave the sinking ship. The globalists have executed this with precision. They're now going to buy it all up for pennies on the dollar and then down the road in the next cycle cut taxes. See, they know when they raise taxes it implodes economies and reduces tax receipts. They know when they've got police like piranhas out riding, you know, single mothers with 4 kids in the back of the car who's, you know, going bankrupt and about to go on welfare. The cop's been told, you've got a quota, you get that money in. But the system engineers have got computers and algorithms on record managing the implosion with precision and tweaking it. They don't want to implode it too fast so you notice and get upset. They just want to slowly, like a vampire, suck you dry till you're too weak to resist. And then maybe they'll keep you around as a Renfield, you know, semi-zombie to serve them as a bureaucrat once you've been re-educated by the implosion. Oh, it's so good to see them destroy everything. It's going so well, too. And it's going to spread. It's going to spread all over the country as the parasites just spread and the huge corporate contracts. Now, that's why you've been taught to salivate like a Pavlovian dog whenever you're shown military. Oh, give up your rights, military. Oh, I'm pro-military. So now you can have the Army, Marines, National Guard, TSA, checkpoints everywhere, drones, surveillance. Yeah, we're watching you. Yeah, we're torturing people. Yeah, we'll kill U.S. citizens if we want. Yeah, we're training to put you in re-education camps. Yeah, we're training to confiscate your guns. What you gonna do about it? And a lot of yuppies go, well, I'm scared. I'm gonna bootlick you. And so nobody stands with the good military people to say no to it. The yuppies have learned how to bootlick. That's how they go up ladders in life. So they just say, you know what? We're going to fall over on our bellies to this. The New World Order said, you bet you are. That's why we're going to run you down and shut everything down. And the yuppies say, hey, I'm going to play a mental game with myself. I'm going to say that I choose to join it, even though you're not joining it, even though you're a chump. And imagine that you're part of the winning team because you accept it. Because you guys think accepting it and saying there's nothing you can do about it, you know, somehow makes you a winner. No, it makes you a big, fat, cowardly loser. So there it is. Throughout the state, local governments are slashing services to avoid bankruptcy. For some, it's too late. But don't worry. The federal government itself in receivership to foreign banks, where they openly announce we're slaves to foreign banks, who are the fraudsters, the Bernie Madoff, Ken Lay types. Ken Lay created the carbon tax. They're saying, hey, we're going to come in with more fiat money. And we're going to bail you out. And the cops are like, look, we got a new tank from the feds free. Taxpayer money, further bankrupting the country. Oh, we got a new drone. We got new squad cars. We got this $1 million decontam unit where if somebody ever really got hit with nerve gas, nobody's going to even be able to get near it to help them. Just made up. So, oh, here's the army with decontam. By the way, next week's seminar is how to take on militias. That's just the public PR, camel's nose, dragon's nose under the temp flap. Situation that we are dealing with here as a society. And the implosion worldwide is accelerating by design. I'm going to give you economic news when we come back. Then we had a hack attack against InfoWars yesterday. I have it from the computer company itself. I'm going to read that email here on air, which just shows we're doing a great job. And we're also going to get into the UN gun ban treaty. They're now admitting, yeah, it's going to register and then confiscate your firearms. But it'll be done slowly, so the yuppies like it.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
So in all the areas of the country where the globalists have their people in place, they're announcing they're going to make folks, the general public, go into tiny apartments that are like coffins, like they have in Japan, but raise taxes to the point where you're forced into the coffin apartments. They're going to control and track everything you eat and do. That's being announced. They're going to ban you having firearms, but let criminals just absolutely run wild and have police in Chicago and New York. I saw videos just this week. Openly break into cars, steal your stereos, steal your money. You walk up and catch them. They get out and say, I'm going to kill you if you don't leave me alone. In D.C., the police, this is even in the Washington Times, pull up to McDonald's parking lots in uniform, owning their own wrecker trucks on duty, and steal your car. I don't mean just take it and claim they're towing it. I mean they steal it. And they own the big chop shops publicly. No one can stop them. They rule. Total ruling. Total demonic control. Total evil. Hell being released. Hell opening up. It's here. California. Ongoing. Collapse. Michigan. Collapse. Answer. Hammer taxes up. Answer. Hammer code inspectors. Hey, you're out of work. You're living off your pension. Hey, your shingles aren't right. We're taking it. I've got news articles on that. Code inspectors, white glove inspecting, taking your property, hitting you with fines. And again, further bankrupting the economy. That's the goal. Just wreck things, drive out business, pay $22 billion to ship General Motors to China and Brazil. You know, pay billions to ship jobs for solar systems to China. Just whatever you can, destroy America. Whatever you can, bankrupt the country. Whatever you can, shut it down and shut it down now. All stated public plan. Just type in carbon taxes, good to shut down economy. Carbon taxes so you can't have more than one child. In Europe, they're... Jacobson was showing me the Economist magazine a few days ago. I meant to show it on air. It's like, yeah, in Europe, they're not having any kids. It's great. Even worse than it was before because of all the new taxes. Austerity's really great. Shutting down humans. Oh, it's so good. The West is dying. Oh, it's so good. It's so good. Everything's falling apart. Oh, it's so good. Oh, it's so good. Oh, it's so good. Continuing, Fed officials warn of looming crisis for economy. The Federal Reserve, oh, they're to the rescue. Thank goodness, the Federal Reserve. Maybe Bonnie and Clyde should have called themselves the Federal Reserve. Then they could rob banks when the cops show up. They go, federal, federal. I should change my first name to Federal Jones. And I just walk around going, I rule everything. Federal Jones. Everybody's like, oh, federal. I mean, Federal Express could now start taxing us. It's not federal. Federal exterminators. Federal moving. Just if something has the name federal on it, what do you do? We should do a skit on that for YouTube where somebody wears a shirt that says federal and people just, federal. Oh my. I mean, it's a private banking consortium, but that's okay. That's all right. Fed officials warn of looming crisis. You know why I'm ranting and raving? Because I'm angry about watching my beloved country get gutted one side or the other. I mean, I'm freaking out every millisecond that I've been absolutely dead on and then some. It's worse than I mean, it's all going to happen. The re-education camps, the mass arrests, the bioweapons being released, they're following their exact program. I sit here in horror every day watching it all come true and knowing we're going to look back on this time as the good old days. Just like I told you 5 years ago, and you're like, oh, yeah, right. It's going to get worse and worse until we just arrest all these people. We either do that or it's over. We're going to live just like they do in Chicago or D.C. with criminal police ruling over us with, oh, my God, this country. I'm sorry, though. Everything's okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Here's USA Today. Fed. Oh, in fact, let me stop being sacrilegious against them. Fed officials warn of looming crisis for economy. Hey, honey, the Fed's warning us that we never got out of that recession they told us we got out of. It's a depression if we don't give them more money. Well, I guess we better raise taxes. I better pay more. Thank goodness the Federal Reserve, Bernanke. What did the Atlantic call him? They had him on the cover. It said hero, just the word hero. I mean, it's federal and it's a hero. I mean, they said so. Don't be an extremist. Don't question it. These are good people. Doesn't matter. You got all the Fed heads and people in public papers talking about in the 70s and 80s and 90s how they'd engineer this and have a world banking takeover and bankrupt everything and bring in Agenda 21. And it's all written in triplicate by every agency under the sun and all totally planned in public. Let's just ignore that and call it conspiracy theory. And let's not get upset about it. You know, we're all told don't get upset, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, look, the Atlantic, since I covered this months ago, changed the headline to Bernanke, hero or villain. I guess because it looks so ridiculous. Because it was just hero before, but that's not the cover of the magazine. Type in Bernanke on the cover of the new Atlantic, or Atlantic Weekly, or whatever they call it. It's a big neocon, fake liberal site. And you're like, neocons aren't liberals. Yeah, they are. It's liberal. It's neocons posing as liberals who were neocons, but really just banker mafia chiefs here to gang rape you and your family financially.
Get the guards, disarm him immediately. Whereas one of the slaves have a weapon, raise the alarm.
I wanna be crazy, crazy like Alex Jones, and yet have an assumption without presumption to know what's going on. Then I can throw bananas at the global clowns and hear aristocratic moans. I wanna be crazy, crazy like Alex Jones. I went looking one day on the internet just to see what I could find, when I heard this talk show maniac just proudly speaking his mind. It was really wild, but the more I heard, it made a whole lot of sense to me. I wanna thank you, Alex, for opening my eyes and helping the blind to see. I wanna be crazy, crazy like Alex Jones, and yet have enough gumption without a presumption to know what's going on. Then I can throw bananas at the global clowns and hear aristocratic moans. I wanna be crazy, crazy like Alex Jones. all the talking heads on the TV screen with an arrogant sophistication, talking about what's been going on around the world and here in the nation. They all seem to turn like a pack of wolves when Alex goes on the air. In spite of the facts, they launch their attacks, and I just don't think it's fair. I wanna be crazy, crazy like Alex Jones. And yet have an abduction without a presumption that no one's going on. Then I can throw bananas at the global clowns and hear aristocratic moans. I wanna be crazy, crazy like Alex Jones. I wanna be crazy, crazy like Alex Jones.
I'm your Christian leader. Never mind Skull and Bones. Never mind Bohemian Grove. Never mind my actual policies. Just buy my rhetoric, buy my lies, because you're my slaves. We're going to put in a Democrat later who works for the exact same people, and you're going to laugh at them when they do it. All you Democrats that hate the Patriot Act and all you Democrats that hate the police state, you're suddenly going to love it.
Visit Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. When you're on the site, you can also tune in 24 hours a day to my daily radio broadcast. There's also a free iPhone app to listen to the syndicated radio show when and where you want.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. My microphone quit working right at the end of the last segment, and we have a backup here. Usually that happens when someone knocks it off. They do voiceovers in here and breaks it and doesn't tell anybody, like myself, or I forget and then the next day it doesn't work. So we had a backup. The last one we broke a few years ago was waiting in there. So we got the backup in during that break. That's why we ran crazy like Alex Jones, because it was the first thing up there on the computer desktop to play after we realized the microphone is on the fritz. So, guys, let's send that one to get it repaired before we were, you know, a year later, this one gets broken. Or Murphy's Law, if we don't get it repaired, it'll get broken next week. It's like when it's our only microphone, then like the, you know, the little, what do you call them, gremlins, we'll go, ah, it's the only one. And as soon as we turn the lights off here tonight, they'll go, ah, come up from underneath the table, and like Al-Qaeda does, the big threat, and we'll come and get us. I think we should give up all our rights because the gremlin attacks, ladies and gentlemen, almost even more scary than Al-Qaeda, who publicly works for the globalist. Let me settle down and get to all the news here. Okay, let me just settle down. I got really angry by watching Europe implode, the U.S. implode by design. I'm going to get back into that in a moment. But they did find the Atlantic magazine cover. There it is. The hero. It's just the hero, Ben Bernanke, of the Federal Reserve. But also, the other headline is Rahm Emanuel takes Chicago, and what a hero he is. There's an article in there because we bought the magazine about he's a hero, too. I mean, these are heroes. See, the gangsters have taken over to such a level now that they are on all the magazines and they're heroes. And what they're doing is heroic, stealing everything and telling you the IRS is going to make you buy their healthcare products and they're going to cut the quality of healthcare too. And the president's going to legalize illegal aliens, even though he can't do that. He did it. And he's going to ship guns into Mexico and blame the Second Amendment. And he's going to ship opium in publicly and... Well, that's just the way it is. And if you don't like it, you know what Nightline and CNBC and MSNBC and CNN and Fox and everybody else says, and Rolling Stone and New York Magazine and basically Vanity Fair, you're crazy like Alex Jones. I mean, if you don't like textbook tyranny with a icing of high-tech technocracy on it, you're a bad person. So just remember, we're all bad. I mean, we are bad. We are the bad people. And we're in good company. FEMA does teach, and I have the footage in my film Road to Tyranny, that the Founding Fathers are terrorists and are bad. And the police sit there in the room in Kansas City in the particular video agreeing and being told that they're good. They behave about like seven-year-old children, being told they've done good, you know, good by the third-grade teacher. And we have all the training manuals right through today saying it. And some police have woken up, you know, when you go and hear that George Washington's a bad man. It's like an alternate parallel universe or something. But Thomas Jefferson, though, is even worse. And, you know, mom, apple pie. You know, Salon did a big article attacking Joseph Farah and myself yesterday, saying we're kooks, we're dangerous, we're crazy, that, oh, there's a line where Jones says they're going to try to, outlaw people that support George Washington. We had just been talking about a new federal report that police are being given saying that the founding fathers are bad and freedom lovers are bad. Basically, it's saying the 4th of July is bad. That article had gone viral. It had been all over the news. It had been on Starting with the Drudge Report last week when we wrote it. By the way, we have another big Drudge Report link on the right-hand side down there today dealing with the Army and Air Force just spraying for mosquitoes. You don't need local government anymore as things just got unplugged. Hear me unplug my headset back in, my earpiece back in. But there is the article, and it's just like, oh, the Army, they're going to run checkpoints now for security. They're going to be at the prom, the high school basketball game. It's like, why is the Army here? Well, they're just here. Why are the Marines with sidearms in the back of a Humvee with a heavy machine gun in the back running a DWI checkpoint? Oh, well, they're just here to help. Hey, there's a car wreck down there on, at the corner of this highway and that, and the Army helicopter landed, and they're cutting the people out. Well, isn't it nice they're down there cutting them out? What are you against cutting people out of cars? And so the acclimation happens where, oh, hey, the CIA is down the street. The CIA is now working with local police to identify threats. Oh, but it's no big deal. Oh, yeah, and the cops now are going to make you get out of your car and aim a laser beam at you that supposedly says if you're on drugs or not. Ladies and gentlemen, they have, for 10 years or more, have ruled that lie detector tests are complete fraud. They're only good to trick somebody who's lying into saying you've caught them. It's only good for somebody that knows you're lying to convince you that they've proven you're lying so you'll break down. They don't work. They're total and complete frauds. And anyone can learn how to beat one in about 5 minutes. You just stay agitated the entire time. That's one way. You want to hear other ways to beat lie detectors? And again, that's like beating a wet paper bag. Usually they're used, even when you're innocent, to say, oh, the FBI technician, the same one at the crime lab who'll set you up and send you to prison knowing you're innocent, says you're guilty when you're not. That's what lie detectors are. And now they're coming out with all these new high-tech ones where the cop gets out on the highway and stand there, I'm going to aim the laser beam at you. Oh, it shows that your adrenaline is high, and it shows you're on some kind of narcotic. By the way, and these quack machines from the military-industrial complex looking for explosives in Land of the Free, Home of the Brave. I mean, it's ridiculous. Oh, it's so scary, the terrorist. And then in 90-plus percent of the cases, I'd say I'd have to get, 96, 97. I mean, there's some real terrorism. It's totally staged, and they get some drugged-up shock therapy person on halcyon amnesiacs on the plane to try to light the plastic explosives as everyone says they're drooling. Light the underwear, drooling. Light the shoe, drooling, 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 drooling. I mean, if they ever have some surveillance camera of me whacked out of my mind, shock therapy, I've disappeared for a month, and I'm running around like that big defense contractor was. Remember him? He got caught on surveillance, and they found him dead in a trash can, and they said, oh, he must have just died naturally. That famous guy, I forget his name, that worked for Bush, was the head of all these corporations. And he's like saying they're after me, and the Department of Defense is breaking in his house, and they're chasing him around, and then they kill him, and oh, the police are told, oh, he just died over there and was put in the dumpster. Yes, mm-hmm. And you can see him in those surveillance footage. Obviously, he's been drugged. And he's got out. He's running around with his shoes off, his torn suit. Nuh-uh, pal. No, sir. No, sir. That's what they do. They electroshock you, give you a bunch of drugs, and then just pump messages in that the pain will stop when you do this. And then they just release you like a wild animal to go off. And then so there's the underwear bomber, the shoe bomber drooling. They don't even have passports. And there's a U.S. State Department going, we need to get these men on the plane. Please help us. And the head of airport security is like, well, we can't do this. They go, national security. Make a phone call to your bosses if you want, here in Amsterdam or here in London. Get him on the plane. This is national security. And they look over and the guy's drooling. They go, okay, on the plane. I mean, this is the world we live in. But side issue, I need to get back into the other news here. Now, there it is. Underwear bomber was working for the CIA. I mean, it's just that's London Guardian. Oh, every time The guy making the bombs was CIA. And it's like, oh, when that got leaked, they went, yes, yeah, stunning that we were on top of it, making the bombs. That's how well we've infiltrated Al-Qaeda. Yeah, the Al-Qaeda you run. And then they show the American people the sock puppet of Al-Qaeda. Guys, I want to buy a puppet of an Al-Qaeda creature so I can sit here on the air with it actually and go, I will get you if you don't give me a rights up. Oh, no, I will then. Does the TSA want to grope me and my family? Yes, to keep you safe. I mean, I really want to start. Like, I've never been trained as a ventriloquist, but we grew up. I grew up with I'm trying to remember his name. Pretty well known magician lived two doors down from us, and he would always come over when I had friends over. So he'd also come over to my birthday parties. He was really old. Really nice guy, and he would do magic tricks for us, but he was a ventriloquist, and you know, he'd talk into a potted plant or something and say, are you down in there? Yeah, I'm down in there. And I'd say, hey, you're talking out your mouth. And he goes, no, I know, and I'm talking to him down in there. Are you in there? Yeah, I'm down in there. So what I want to do is I want to get a little Al-Qaeda puppet. And then I can walk around the office, and just when I show it to somebody, they just, oh, please, oh, God, take all my rights away. And it's going to have a little, you know, little headdress on, like a white flowing Moses-like beard. Be wearing a nightgown. I really want to have one of those here. I mean, I'm just sick of it. The whole thing is a sick joke, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, let me just digress here. You know, I tend to never plug in the first hour of the show or the third or second, for that matter, products, videos, things we're doing here at Infowars.com, because I'm so busy covering the news. But you know, you hear mainline talk radio, you hear plugs almost every segment. That's how you fund a radio show. But we have the news websites, and we fund a lot of things with ad traffic there, and we have the subscriptions for 15 cents a day. You get a 15-day free trial at prisonplanet.tv and see the live radio show daily and also the nightly news. Again, prisonplanet.tv. And we also have some other, you know, ways that we're able to raise revenue, books, videos, T-shirts, things like that. And that's what we're doing. And I talked yesterday about how important it is to buy things like ProPure, 10% off, best gravity-fed filters out there at InfoWarsShop.com or InfoWarsStore.com will get you there. We have a Yahoo shopping cart we've had for about 14 years, but we also have this 3D cart. You know, that's where you go when you go to InfoWarsShop.com. It's a pretty big company. They've done a great job for us, by the way. And here is the customer service email we got yesterday, because we noticed the shopping cart was down for part of the day yesterday. And it says, hi there, Matt. We discovered that your start was the target of a DDoS attack. We were able to block the IP that was causing the issues, and services returned to normal. At this point, everything should be functioning as expected. We certainly apologize for the inconvenience. If you experience any further issues, please let us know. What a great company. Yes, we know about the denial of service attacks and the slow Loris attacks and the Easter Bunny attacks and all the rest of it, but, which the NSA launches itself against the United States, because it's not the NSA. It's the Banker Occupational Surveillance Criminal Network. And they launch Stuxnet themselves and say, give your rights up. And we've tracked it before. It's the Pentagon and it's private corporations, and they attack all our sites basically constantly. And thanks to great hackers and people out there that have contacted us with tips and things, our great IT staff has been able to keep InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com up and running. But know this, the system does not want you buying things like Dreams from my real father, Joel Gilbert, exposing Obama's real roots. They don't want you getting the greater good, exposing vaccines or killing and maiming people, and just a scourge. They don't want you getting Farmageddon. They don't want you getting the Toronto hearings on 9/11. They don't want you getting any of this information. They don't want you getting indoctrination about the public schools or Thrive or A Noble Lie About Oklahoma City or Scientists Under Attack. I mean, you know, Google banned any firearms advertisements 2 weeks ago. We talked to a sponsor that's a firearms company that's got awesome deals, by the way. I don't know if I can mention their name yet. We got a bunch of firearms sponsors. And they said it killed their business by 80% when Google said no more advertising. And newspapers are now saying it. This is the discrimination. What the Nazis did to the Jews first and others was said you can't advertise. And now you can't have your shop. And now we're going to knock your windows out. Now we're going to send you to a ghetto for your safety. This is what the Soviets did to the Ukrainians and what the communist Chinese did to the, you know, shopkeeper middle class groups. This is how they do it. So InfoWarsShop.com. Now I'm just going to plug a whole bunch more since you think it's funny that and they did hit us. They did, you know, knock out some of our revenue. But anytime I need to, by the grace of God, I could come on here and raise $1 million by snapping my fingers from our great audience. So you know what? I was thinking about not even having a money bomb this year because I was going to try to expend the funds we've got, hiring all these crew and expanding. But you know what? We're going to hire even more people and do even more. That's it. We're doing a 48-hour nonstop money bomb now. And we're going to try to raise twice as much since you don't want us raising money. The point is that we constantly have huge attacks, small attacks, different types of attacks, people spoofing us, going out as if they're us trying to get us in trouble. And it just shows you the fact there's a lot of jealous people out there, but there's also you know, Media Matters and folks saying we're going to infiltrate alternative media from the inside and destroy them. And they're tax exempt, and they're not going to lose their tax exemption because they work for the White House publicly. I mean, they want to shut us down. The system does not want you to hear this. And the answer to that is to redouble your efforts. See, we have power. We have power. The globalists are criminals. They could all, like dominoes, if there's enough of an awakening, end up going to prison. Like Ken Lay, Bernie Madoff, and others. They had another big company like MF Global disappear $200+ million. The fiduciary holding it was J.P. Morgan. The guy committed suicide, if you believe that. You get Max Kaiser on about that. I covered it the other night. So this is happening. And this whole system is this giant, tottering Ponzi scheme, and they want to take us down with it. Well, we don't need that. We don't want that. And as we reach more and more people, there are going to be more and more attacks. And so just realize that. And remember, it's not just buying books and videos to support us. It's not just buying the t-shirts or getting a PrisonPlanet.tv membership. It's spreading the word. Who else is on XM-166, over 115 AM and FM stations, global shortwave, some of the biggest alternative news sites? Well, the biggest after Drudge. Drudge is like four or five times bigger than we are. We're bigger than World End Daily now, bigger than Newsmax. Look at the numbers. And the point is that we're the best there is. We know we're not that big. We know we're not that effective. That's why I'm trying to hire more crew right now, hire more reporters right now, hire more graphics people right now. We're trying to expend our rocket fuel in the info war to really maximize the resistance and the awakening now. It's as our information becomes more and more credible, because it's out in the open now and people realize, wow, these guys know what they're talking about. That's when we get the credibility. We've always had the facts, but now we're getting the credibility. We're getting on the stations. We're reaching out. We're getting in the news. We're becoming a news source more and more. And all over the world, in Japan and Russia and the Middle East and England and here in the U.S., every day major newspapers use us as sources now. And as that happens, folks, we're entering the real danger zone. So pray for us. Spread the word about InfoWars.com, PrisonPlanet.com, PrisonPlanet.tv, Twitter.com/RealAlexJones. We got a bunch of fan Facebooks that we've taken over. You know, they've got about 1 million likes together, but the biggest one by itself's got about 290,000 likes. It's Alexander Emmerich Jones. People wonder why it's spelled wrong, because Wikipedia has my middle name spelled wrong. So the fan that set that up, it's spelled wrong. And now, in a way, that's fine. The system wants to have my middle name spelled wrong. That'll just be more disinfo in their data systems. You know, this stuff works two ways. All right, I got Colonel Craig Roberts coming up. I just wanted to get it out there to everybody to remember to support us, InfoWarsShop.com. But more importantly, it's all the great products I believe in and promote and use myself, discounted. And then the profit we make goes back into fighting the globalist and making this organization strong against attacks, hack attacks, lawsuits, whatever the case might be. We've had frivolous lawsuits over the years. They were always ridiculous and defeated. It's just that you didn't have to deal with them. We are moving forward, and never for libel or slander. It's always just, you know, made up stuff like Alex Jones is a blood-drinking lizard. We're suing you for it, literally, and I have to go deal with it. All right, we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We're going to get my good friend Craig Roberts on in the next segment. Getting back into the financial news here. Fed officials warn of looming crisis for economy. Well, thank goodness. I thought everything was fine, they said, as long as we gave them trillions and more power and let them take over everything and take people's bank accounts without warrants. I thought they'd take good care of us because they were good people. Also, some on FOMC said more stimulus probably will be needed, which means more select trillions just to their friends and others. And more stimulus to move more factories to China. That'll help. Here's CNBC. Spain deepens austerity under European pressure, raising taxes, cutting benefits, imploding the economy, and shipping all the money to the megabanks. So they can then come over here from Spain, the big Spanish elites, King Carlos and the Juan Carlos, and buy up our roads, which are illegal, but they allow them to buy up existing roads and put toll roads on it, which are then paid for with taxes to upkeep them. Just the money goes to them. It's a good system. Continuing here, yield record in U.S. Treasury sale. Investors accepted the lowest yields for 10-year paper in U.S. Treasury auction, and that's because everything's falling, but they think the U.S. is going to be the last empire standing. So all these governments are still buying into that. Also, rising costs, again, I mentioned this, push California cities to fiscal brink. Throughout the state, local governments are slashing services to avoid bankruptcy. For some, it's too late. Oh, and now all over the country, from Rhode Island to California to Michigan, to even areas of Florida, they're having corporations come in. And what the corporations are doing is raising taxes and saying there's no more city council. There's no more rights. We do what we want. We take what we want. We own your city now. It's like the old RoboCop, one of the RoboCop serials. The private corporation comes in, bankrupts the city by design. It's actually Detroit to take it over and then puts combat robots on the streets to replace the police. That's all part of predictive programming because that is the plan. And, of course, you know who gets the contract for the robots. You're going to find out, though, all of you that serve the system, you're like, yeah, robots on the streets. Yeah, watch. Just like I told you 10 years ago, they'd replace, by 2015, almost the entire Air Force with drones. It's now here, and you notice that's all being announced to you right now. And they're almost crashing into aircraft and are crashing on a weekly basis. And it's like they don't make a big deal out of it. You know, when 60-something thousand get killed on the U.S.-Mexico border, it's back of the paper. Because they don't want you to be scared or freaked out about that. When, you know, thousands are dying a month in Illinois in gang warfare, it's just kind of back of the news. Because they've already gotten the guns there, so there's nothing else to take. So they don't want to demonize guns, you know, because they've already taken them. So they don't make a big deal out of it. Whenever they don't want you to know about something, they just don't make it a big deal. But then, oh my gosh, you got a better chance of dying from a honeybee sting. Don't you want to give up all your rights and have cameras on every street corner and face scanners and license plate readers and TSA groping your family on the highways because, and the army running drills in your city because Al-Qaeda, folks, Al-Qaeda. I mean, you got a better chance of getting struck by lightning twice in 1 year, but I'm still telling you, it is scary, and it's fun to get scared of this. It is really, really, really fun to just roll around and shake in fear all day long. And coming up, we're going to get into a host of issues, but were you surprised? I guess the scope of the corruption is so great because the former FBI director was mooey corrupt, involved in all the different cover-ups, but he's come out and reported what we already knew, that the entire university hierarchy knowingly covered up the pedophile operation for many, many years. Well, yeah, because the word is there on local news that they were pimping the kids out. You just don't think Sandusky was raping little boys at high noon in the showers because he was the only one, do you? This is an empire run by predominantly pedophiles. We'll be right back.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Welcome, my friends, to another hour of worldwide broadcast in an attempt to awaken humanity to the fact that private corporate interests that are anti-free market and who are monopoly men are establishing a planetary government run for and by megabanks who are seeking to establish a neo-feudalistic system of total control. Thank you for joining us. Coming up later in the hour, I'm going to get his take on all of this. FBI former head investigation, former FBI director's investigation, says there was a 14-year cover-up of systematic sexual abuse by Sandusky. Yeah, it's come out in the local news via the publication and radio host that first broke it. We've played those clips here that he was selling the kids. And so they may be getting ready to charge the folks at the college with cover-up just so they're all discredited, because this goes into politicians, everybody. And I'm going to get Colonel Roberts' take on that from his research. Here's CNN. Penn State leaders showed total disregard for victims' review finds. Oh, yeah. Well, they didn't disregard them. TSA doesn't disregard your child. They target them. We're also going to get his take on new Homeland Security laser scanner reads people at molecular level. And again, this is just more quackery. It's like they've proven the lie detectors are just there to engage in fraud and was quackery. Well, now they just have high-tech lasers that claim this and that. And it's all part of all of our tax money that's been used to militarize the rest of the world coming back home here to the United States. But first off, I wanted to get Colonel Roberts on, because every time I see a story in the news, like one of the people that responded, FBI agents that responded to the Shanksville, Pennsylvania crash. In fact, guys, will you reprint me that article? Said that she didn't see any bodies. Yeah, because it wasn't the jet aircraft. And just saw a hole in the ground, but that she saw angels. Very interesting. She has a book out on that. And Colonel Roberts died for about 10 minutes on the operating table years ago. And had quite an experience, so maybe at the end. I know he's told it, but he only comes on a few times a year. But I think it was a couple years ago last time he told it. Perhaps he'll recap that story for us here on the broadcast today. And then we have, popping in about 15 minutes in the next hour, Hayden Perry, CEO of Oxytech. That's the GMO mosquitoes they're getting ready to release in the U.S. He's agreed to come on, so that should be interesting, from the U.K. But first off, Colonel Roberts was asking my producer last week when we were setting him up for the show if I knew what Black Star, Operation Black Star, was. And the answer is no, but I want to get his take on that. There's also Operation 01. I have talked to some sources about that, and that's a program for mass arrest, relocation. But we don't need to speculate anymore. It's now in NLE 09, 10, and 11, the FEMA plans to use foreign troops here. It's now admitted the public plan to use Canadian and Mexican troops in the John Warren Defense Authorization Act. We've seen Washington Post headlines the last few years where, you know, generals asked by Congress to explain program of foreign troops. We've seen Russian troops trained here. It's all part of an acclimation. And the first person I saw give credible evidence of this more than a decade ago was Colonel Roberts. We saw cooperative nugget and drills with foreign troops, but they could say, oh, that's for overseas. No, no, this is for here in the U.S. And now it's so overt, and now Army documents have been confirmed to be real. The Army responded to one we released 2 months ago saying, yes, there are re-education camps for political dissidents. There's a new Army document out that's public. It's unclassified for gun confiscation. They call it gun evacuation, work brigades. So the fact that this is getting a lot more funding now, I mean, by orders of magnitude, and is going so public, that concerns me that they're warming it up, getting ready to go operational. Armored vehicles being delivered everywhere, drones being delivered, threat fusion centers openly saying, yeah, we are spying on citizens. They say the new threat isn't Al-Qaeda. This was going on a long time ago behind the scenes, but now they're fully shifting, saying, well, they have the new garbage man training where all the drills are, it's conservatives they're after, and the victims are Muslims. So it's like, you know, this new idea that the conservatives are terrorists hiding, you know, under every bed out there. So I wanted to get Colonel Roberts' take on all of this. His website is riflewarrior.com. I won't go over his whole bio, but I've known him for a long time. He's a good friend. We've spoken at conferences and things together. He's also been a syndicated talk show host. And he, of course, is a best-selling, what is it, number one New York Times bestseller. He's written One Shot, One Kill, a whole bunch of best-selling books. He was also a helicopter unit pilot, chief of maintenance as well there in Tulsa, Oklahoma. He was a SWAT team leader. Before that, he was a Marine in Vietnam, decorated, and then after that he went into Army intelligence, became a colonel, lieutenant colonel, and he joins us now a little bit into the next hour, and then our next guest is coming on to break down his view, his take. He hadn't been on probably 6-8 months. Colonel Roberts, always good to have you on, Craig. Right now, I mean, you heard me give that preface. From all the police and military sources you have, what is going on right now? Should we be concerned?
Oh, I'd absolutely be concerned right now. You know, I'm seeing more people waking up and just they're getting scared and they're getting angry. They know something's up. They know something's not right. They know they got a renegade government. They got a rogue, out of control mess of federal agencies out there. You know, they read reports. Of course, the internet helps a lot on getting a lot of information out, even though some of it may be disinformation. You have to know how to weed through that and filter it. You know, we have to do that, you know, in the intel shop. We always had to weed through and filter everything to figure out what was true and what wasn't. And we're seeing stuff, you know, just bits and pieces. But you and I have talked about this before. The way you work on intelligence is you take all these bits and pieces and you put them on the wall and you try to form a picture. Are they connected together? Do they mean anything? And what goes with what bit of information? And when we do that with all the stuff going on now, ever since 9/11, it's been building all the time toward a something coming to a head in this country. And now with this guy in the White House that won't even give his school records, his true birth certificate. You know, I mean, we've gone through all of this stuff before. He won't do any of that. You've got all these things about the Department of Homeland Security buying all this .40 caliber ammunition, hollow point. That is not used by the military. The military doesn't even use .40 calibers. And so why do they need, you know, hundreds of thousands or millions of rounds of ammunition? Then we find out that now they're buying .223, which fits the M16 series, the AR-15 series. And, they're, you know, what was it, 1.2, 1.4 million rounds of that? That's not for target practice. And we're seeing all of this information coming out about bringing certain troops back home into the country and training them for anti-terrorist training on domestic soil. Well, who, you know, if you're going to have a brigade of troops, who are they going to go up against? You know, we're not talking about a group of 12 Hamas terrorists down the street. We're talking about a lot of people. You've got all these things happening at once, plus these reports of Chinese equipment being stockpiled in Mexico, and in Freeport in the Bahamas, which just happens to be the largest transshipment port in the world, is run by Hutchison Whampoa and Costco.
Oh, they admit that the Chinese are have taken over that island. They're building all those ports and stockpiling weapons, and now they can't even release the new Red Dawn. They had to re-edit it to where the Chinese government wasn't criticized. I mean, that's how pathetic our country's gotten.
Oh, I know, and we've got all these different types of situations going on with computer viruses now that China could attack our systems. Look what we did to the Iranian systems with that virus that we sent over to their nuclear power plant computers. They could do the same thing here with our computers. In fact, Monday, I think it was, 83,000 computers were supposed to shut down because of a worm that was in them, that they'd gotten off the Internet that was redirecting their searches to other websites. It just goes on and on and on. You know, I teach a lot of military, police, and civilian firearms courses, and one of them is the concealed carry class for our state. And I have had more people coming to these classes that are, we're talking old people, we're talking a lot of ladies are coming in now. They're scared. They want to know how to use a gun. They've never had a gun before in their life, and they're 70 years old or maybe 75 years old, and they want a gun in their house, and they don't want, you know, a double-barrel shotgun. They want a pistol that you know, has 13 rounds in a magazine and three spare magazines and a stockpile of ammo. And I say, you know, this gal isn't buying this stuff to, guard her cookies. They're actually out all over the place afraid of what's going on in this country.
Exactly. Well, they've had questionnaires. This has even been in USA Today. With 1 million guns was the previous record in 1 month. Then it was 2 million, 3 million. They had 1 month this year where 5 million guns through the NICS got sold. That's five times the previous record. And when they questionnaire ask them, they say collapse and we don't trust the government. So, you know, the so-called government, have you seen the clips, Colonel, where they now all over the news are announcing that America has been captured by foreign banks and that we're slaves and that it's a good thing?
No, I haven't seen that.
I'm not kidding. I can play a clip right now for you. What do you make of them saying that?
Well, I don't doubt it a bit. I mean, our Federal Reserve System has been joined at the hip with the Bank of England and the Rothschilds since the very beginning of 1923. So, you know, I had a meeting with a wills and trust lawyer a couple of weeks ago, and we got to talking about this, and I said, when we were in my stockbroker's office, and I said, would you get on a computer and buy me 100 shares of Federal Reserve Incorporated stock? He said, what? I said, would you do that? And he says, no, you can't buy stock in that. Then I said, how come you can have a corporation and you can only have 11 stockholders? And so he's been doing his research. He'll get back to me.
And that's how you plant seeds. Stay there. I want to get into analyzing this globalist takeover, what they're planning to do with this collapsing the cities, the counties, what you see coming. Everybody in their gut can feel it, so they're digging in. Government's digging in. What's coming?
Well, the unions are big businessmen, and they're going out like a dinosaur.
I can see a time coming.
I can see the day coming when even your home gardener's gonna be against the law.
Yeah, they're in, of all places, Tulsa, Oklahoma. I saw 2 years ago where one of the city council people said, we got to inspect gardens. People might be growing marijuana in them. And then it was Tulsa again where they went and cut a woman's garden down in her backyard, an old woman, and charged her for it. Hey, what's going on in Tulsa there, Colonel Craig Roberts? You were a police officer there for a long time.
Well, I think code enforcement's gotten out of control. Of course, you know, there's always two sides to every story. In one of those cases, these people had let their lawn grow so high that it was a fire hazard and it scared everybody around them. And, you know, if it had been me, I'd have gone over there and mowed it for her. I mean, it wouldn't have bothered me a bit. When you live in cities, the closer you live together, the less you know each other. You move out in the country, you meet all your neighbors in no time because they come by. But in the city, people, you know, they want to withdraw inside their house, not that sort of thing. And And so they don't, unless you know your neighbors, you don't trust them, they don't trust you. And pretty soon you've got them complaining if you leave your trash cans out, if your dog gets out, if your cat goes over to their yard.
Exactly. We're losing human society watching television all day. So you heard my question as we went to break. Clearly we're in a designed implosion so the feds can come in as the savior. I have a clip we're going to play in the next segment of the bankers announcing that we are their slaves. They're saying it in all these different publications. The TSA is groping people everywhere. They're running highway checkpoints. Are we being eased into martial law? And how do the globalists plan on being able to have this takeover take place?
You know, there's about three or four different ways to look at this, and I've kind of war-gamed it around. This country right now is on the verge of basically a revolution. It could, just about anything could kick it off. It could be an instigated set of race riots. It could be food shortages. It could be a breakdown in transportation so that nothing gets to the cities from the country. It could be a lockdown on travel due to, you know, some terrorist activity. It could be Islamic terrorism that's set off to go off, you know, with Iran. It could be any type of societal breakdown, especially in the larger cities, to where they have to do something about it. They declare martial law, whatever. And, you know, we talked about General McCaffrey's statement to the CASQ course at Fort Leavenworth years ago when he said that with the build down of our armed forces, this is back during the Clinton administration when they were closing bases up to the BRAC plan and all that, and they're reducing the number of planes in our fighter squadrons, reducing the number of ships, reducing the number of divisions, and so on and so forth. He said, with the build down of our armed forces being what it is, if we get committed in two or more fronts overseas, we will be forced to call upon foreign assets to police our streets, which he means U.N. troops. And we've been training, you mentioned this earlier, we have trained foreign troops in the past with Cooperative Nugget down at Fort Polk, Louisiana, on a combat town that looks like downtown America. It doesn't look like, you know, some third world country. It has a church, it has a school, it has buildings.
But they now admit they plan to use foreign troops here. I mean, that's in mainstream news now.
Yeah. And now we've got all these Russians training up at Fort Carson, Colorado. Of course, we get different numbers, anything from 12 to 1,200 or whatever. And it's interesting that Fort Carson at Colorado Springs isn't that far from Denver, and Denver is where you have Denver International Airport. I call it Devil International. And it's out in the middle of nowhere. There was nothing wrong with Stapleton. But they came in and they built that place, and they built an underground city under it that you can't get into. You can't take a tour of it. And they've got an extra runway out there that's buried under sand that you can clear with a this is according to the Denver Police Department, by the way, that told me this. They were out there when they were building this thing. If they need another runway, they just run a snowblower over it, and they've got one that's a mile long or however long it is, big long one. They can land anything up there. Because you got to have, up at that altitude, you got to have a longer runway because the air's thicker.
Sure. By the way, have you been to Denver lately? I was there a couple years ago, and they had weird pyramids and Anubis and obelisk. I mean, giant ones out on the side of the runway now, and it's gotten even weirder out there.
Well, you know, anybody can go on the Internet and look up Denver International murals and see those murals up there showing what looks to be a Russian stormtrooper with an AK-47 wearing a big greatcoat.
And a bunch of dead kids.
A bunch of dead kids and coffins, and the thing about Columbine is on there before it happened. And so, you know,
last time I was there, I don't know if it's still there, you're flying in, there's giant gold obelisk and, you know, 200-foot-tall Egyptian gods and stuff out on the side of the runway. It's weird.
I didn't see that when I was there because I was at the terminal, but just the stuff in the terminal. And if you start taking pictures of that stuff now, the security guards come and get you. I mean, it's incredible.
We're going to go to break. A long segment coming up. I want to get into a host of issues with you, but I want to talk about ways to, you know, try to turn this around. But I agree with you. The globalists know it's their takeover. They're geared up for a counter-revolution. But it just, I mean, I've war-gamed it from every angle. It just runs from bad to worse unless you're a globalist sitting overseas watching it all happen.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Slipping, slipping, slipping.
point I'm trying to get at, Dr. Roberts. Call you Dr. Roberts because you are kind of a doctor of life. But speaking of Dr. Roberts, even Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, that's what I was about to say, is coming out. And, you know, he was the former head of the Treasury for policy, you know, a high-level guy, all the big national think tanks. And he's had to come around to our thinking that, yes, it's a global, private, corporate, fascist government. They're totally evil. They're going to start World War III, and they do plan the mass arrest, re-education, all of it. I want to play this clip and then get your take on it. Here is the clip, one of the clips. There are literally hundreds of news articles, and I've shown them to you, Time Magazine, Newsweek, Financial Times of London, The Economist, all saying, oh, technocrats, unelected, run Europe, and they're going to run us, and they're going to turn the economy off, but it's really cool to be poor, and you go to Whole Foods, half the magazines are austerity. How much fun it is. Austerity today. Being poor is cool. Having nothing's cool. But again, you're going to pay a lot more for less. It's a total organized post-industrial system. The Russians could have supplied sausages and stuff. They wanted you to stand in line, folks. It's about total control. And then now they come out and just say, yes, we've been conquered by foreign banks. We're their slaves. Here is a clip. And by the way, it's 4 minutes long. All the guests agree and say it's good to be their slaves except one. So we were crazy to say this. Colonel Roberts was crazy to write books 15 years ago about it and have a radio show. And they even had the FBI investigating. Now it's just a fact, but we're still bad, though. Remember that. We're still bad people. We're still extremists, the ADL and Southern Poverty Law Center. You know, I see the latest police training manuals, and they send them out, and now this crazy person thinks foreign banks are taking over, and there's going to be a world government, and there's going to be a carbon tax. And then you open the newspaper up, and it's all happening. And I found the weird ADL Southern Poverty Law Center stuff. I shouldn't say this because they might adjust it. I guess they're so lazy, you know, government paycheck types, because they get government funding to do it. You know, they're private, that they won't even stop them. I mean, they're just lazy. They don't care. They turn out like one article a year or something. That it's actually waking police and military up because they're going, wait a minute, George Washington's bad, literally. And then they open the newspaper up and all this is happening. But here's that clip.
Mostly what they do is hold summits.
I think that right now the question is, do we all work for central bankers? That's what I want to address to our guest tonight. Is this global governance at last? Is it one world, the central bankers in charge? Jim Urio, you say we've got some downside here, a correction in the markets. Fine. But aren't we all just living and dying for what the central banks do? Aren't we all just counting on the fact that there's a Bernanke put and that we won't go any lower than, say, 5% down from here?
Of course we are, because if we look at the economic data, there's nothing to get excited about in that. So we, you know, yesterday we saw some reluctance for the Bernanke Fed to expand their balance sheets and pump more money in. But the stock market knows that reluctance is totally different than not willing to do it at all. And that's why we saw oil implode and gold
straight
off. All
right, let's stop right there. The full clip's up at InfoWars.com. I mean, I know I'm ranting here, Craig, but what is it like to see all this coming, being laughed at by people on the force, then investigated when you were talking about Oklahoma City and were sent to investigate it? And then now, I mean, I know a lot of police and military, you told me last time you were on, come to you now and apologize. But, I mean, still, now we've been proven right. But what happens from here? I mean, what is it like to hear things like that? Global governance run by megabanks.
Well, yeah, I mean, we already knew that was happening a long time ago, and it was building up to where it's going to be just one, you know, giant world bank controls everything, and you got the banksters running it. But, you know, about what you're talking about a second ago, that, you know, a man is never a prophet in his own village. But if you go to a different village, all of a sudden, you know, you're a genius. You know, if I traveled around the country and did seminars like the one we did up in Kansas City, people say, wow, this guy really knows his stuff. I've got to check into this. But you can sit there in my own police department or my own military unit or even around the neighborhood. If I talked about any of this, they looked at me and said, yeah, well, Crazy Craig, he's lost it again. He's off the ranch.
Even though you were speaking to crowds of thousands of people, syndicated radio show, they had no respect for their fellow American who was a veteran of Vietnam, the police force, the SWAT team, the helicopter, survived a helicopter crash, everything. So young people try to wake up their folks and they say they get no respect. They shouldn't feel bad. You're a pillar of the community and they wouldn't listen to you.
That's right. You know, there's only two types of birds in the human race, eagles and ostriches. And hopefully the eagles are listening to your show, because the ostriches won't do it and they don't want to hear any of this stuff. I've got a brother-in-law, you know, who's a PhD, a genius, and but he's very liberal, and you try to talk to him about any of this stuff, it's like talking to the wall. It's a doe in the headlights look on his face, like, that can't be happening. I don't believe any of it. And you can't educate him. So there are those ostriches out there that can't be educated. We both have had people come to us saying, hey, I want to tell my neighbors, I want to tell my family, but nobody wants to hear this stuff. Nobody wants to believe it. How do I do that? How do I get this information to them? Well, you can't. What you can do is you can drop a seed and hope it grows. You can give them a suggestion, maybe give them a book and say, you ought to at least look through this book of whatever, you know, the material is that goes in this direction. Like Killzone, my book Killzone, I've given that to people, and they've read that, and then they've come back and they said, what does the Council on Foreign Relations and the Rothschilds and the Federal Reserve Bank have to do with the Kennedy assassination? And I said, okay, here it is, da-da-da-da-da. And they read that, and they say, okay, where else can I get more information? And I'll say, well, okay, The Creature from Jekyll Island, you go there, you go, you know, and start naming off different books that they can just get one, read it. It'll lead to another one. And that's one way to get information. Of course, other
people. And it all fits together, because when you're talking about a book written in 1971, like None Dare Call a Conspiracy, that we sell at Infowars.com, you read this, you know, 40 years later, it all came true exactly as they said, because they were going off congressional hearings and investigations. I mean, when they ran the Federal Reserve through in 1913, almost the entire population was awake. Congress was pretty much against it. They had to pass it in the middle of the night with a quorum of three senators. I mean, you know, people used to know about this stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And there's a book that even predates that. It was written back in the 1920s. And 30s, called Red Fog Over America, by a Canadian named Cunningham. He was an officer in the British Navy, as a submarine officer in World War One. Immigrated to Canada and got, you know, went to work for the Canadian government. He saw the unions being taken over by the Communist Party, and then he saw the same thing happening in the United States. And he said that the communists will call themselves socialists, and they'll get into the left side of government, the left wing, the liberal side of government, and say they are socialist, or that they're for the people and all this stuff. He says, but they're actually hardcore communists being controlled out of Moscow. And this is the 1920s. And he said, this is all the things that are going to happen, and most of it's already happened in Canada. And then he gets into the socialized medicine aspect of it. You know, they control your health, they control your records, they control everything. And you're just another number.
People that say that this UN treaty won't get our guns, it's written open-ended. I've got the UN quotes and articles up at Infowars.com today, even where the U.S. ambassador says in New York, right here on our own shores, you've got a Trojan horse. They won't accept U.S. firearms policy. They want to take the decision away from the U.S. electorate and undermine the Constitution. And I've read the thing. I've read over the treaty. It says they register all our guns, and then the U.N. can direct with the member states to ban any guns they want. And they're using countries that have already signed on to totally ban civilian ownership of firearms. That is the goal. And people that say this won't happen, hey, they'll do it, and let that start the civil war, because the globalists don't care if a bunch of police and military get killed trying to enforce this. But from my research, Colonel Roberts, you've been a police officer and in the military, Marines and Army. Am I correct in saying, I mean, if you've got 200 million gun owners, if 2% of them fought back, that's, you know, 4 million people. I mean, there's no way, if the police and military try to engage in a gun confiscation, they might as well go jump off a cliff. And so they need to stand down on that order, because it's unconstitutional.
Well, they're not going to. That's the thing. I've talked to officers, I've talked to state police, and even some feds, and they said, if that order came down, we'd quit. We wouldn't do it. And so that's where the foreign troops come in. You know, you've got to have people who don't mind going up against Americans. And, you know, they could have, you know, 10 divisions of Chinese troops in Mexico right now. We wouldn't know about it if our media doesn't cover it. And unless you know that they're there and can prove it and have pictures and all of this stuff, no one's going to believe it anyway until it happens. But China has been landing a lot of material for years into, you know, armored vehicles, all kinds of stuff.
But we know the standard operation for these governments. China admits they have 6,000 front companies in the U.S. They're always talking about Russia, but China's the real issue. And the globalists have given them the Panama Canal, given them the ports in the Bahamas that you mentioned. And what they do is they go get businesses, set things up as sleeper fronts. That's the model. 6,000 fronts.
Oh, yeah. And do you remember back in the 90s when they found that shipping container in San Diego full of AK-47s and hand grenades and RPGs?
Yes.
And they found another one in Long Beach, and then they found one down in Corpus Christi, Texas, I think was where they found one. And they were popping up around the country. Then all that whole story died, and the excuse that we got was, oh, that's smugglers bringing stuff in for street gangs. And I'm thinking, yeah, a lot of street gangs run around with anti-tank weapons, you know, and landmines.
And meanwhile, the globalists had the police training to literally fight good old boys, libertarians, conservatives. That's the whole posture is for that now, while meanwhile, this country is just completely wide open.
Yeah, and oh, there's another aspect. I got some information the other day. I can't verify it. I don't know anything more about it, but I'll just mention it, because maybe if the word gets out, it won't happen if it's planned to happen. And the October surprise was leaked that the government is going to seize 401ks, and IRAs and certain pension plans because of the national debt, and to come up with what's known as a GRA, government retirement option. Or I can't remember the.
Oh, no, they've been talking about grabbing them and, quote, protecting them, but to protect them, they need to take part of it.
Yeah, well, of course. But once you lose control of your own 401k, you can't get your money out of it. That, you know, it's the guaranteed pension plan or some stupid thing that they're coming up
with. Yeah, I've talked to a lot of really wealthy people and famous folks, and all of their top financial advisors are telling them there's going to be a total collapse. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but look at all these cities going bankrupt everywhere.
Well, yeah, look at California going bankrupt, too. I mean that place is falling like, you know, when you've got more people taking than producing, it implodes. And that's what's happening to California. It's happening in other states as well. I think New York's high on the list. When it becomes a welfare state, like Churchill said, you know, it only works as long as you can get money out of the other guy's pocket. Well, you've got all these people moving out of these states and taking their businesses with them and taking their jobs with them, and the only thing you've got left is illegal aliens and people on welfare and people who don't work, and the state can't support them anymore. You know, these politicians get in there and they come up with these entitlement programs because that's their way of using our money to buy votes for them.
Yeah. What do you make of Obama publicly saying NATO and the UN run our military and telling Congress to sit down and shut up, and Congress did, and shutting down power plants not owned by his buddies, taking dealerships away from people that didn't give him money? I mean, it's just so incredible. Legalizing the illegal aliens outside of law, fast and furious. I mean, imagine what's going on we don't know about.
Right. Right. I mean, it's like I said earlier, it's out of control. You've got a rogue element in the government, and they do whatever they want, and they don't care what the Constitution says. They don't care what the laws say. And if he can go around Congress with an executive order, he'll do it. He just does his own thing, and he doesn't care what the right from the wrong or the rule of law is.
Why is he so confident?
Because I think since he works pretty much for George Soros and a few other people up there, that he's not worried about anything, and he doesn't care if he gets reelected or not, because he could maintain power by declaring a national emergency and setting the election aside. You know, we could see something like that go on.
And by the way, I mean, you've got Larry Summers in the Washington Post talking about this in total collapse, but then we get criticized for being pessimist porn dealers when all we're doing is analyzing what's really happening. And by the way, we saw it a million miles away. Why did you see this coming a million miles away? What? When did you really start waking up?
Well, I started back in the late 1980s when I went to Dealey Plaza for the first time and looked around, and then ended up going up into the Texas School Book Depository to the sixth floor and looking out and saying, there's no way in the world that Oswald did what they said he did from this position with that piece of junk rifle. It just couldn't happen. I even tried to recreate it myself. I did it for a Japanese film company. It came over here. We took a Carcano, and we took it up on a deck overlooking a valley that was about the same distance. We were shooting at 88 yards at a man-sized target and trying to get all those shots off and so on and so forth. And I'm a heck of a lot better shot than Oswald ever was. And we couldn't recreate it. And so anyway, I looked around and said, well, if the government lied about the Kennedy assassination, what else did they lie about? And I started just looking at different directions and different things, and one thing led to another, and I found out about the Federal Reserve System. I found out how they brought that in. All kind of just one thing after another. And so I wrote a book called Legacy of Dishonor, and it had to do with crimes and cover-ups of the U.S. government from World War II all the way up to the present time. And the Kennedy assassination was the first part of that, and then I got into other cases as well. And I sent it to my agent, and he, and of course by then I'd published several books in New York City through Simon Schuster and Pocket Books and some of the others, Avon, and he couldn't sell that book. It's the best book I ever wrote, and he couldn't sell that book. He took it to 10 different publishers, and finally one of the publishers at Simon & Schuster called me at home on a Saturday night from his house, and he said, "You've got to get this information out to the American people. People have to see this." And I said, "Well, why don't you take it?" And he said, "I can't. I'd lose my job. There's too much in there that the powers that be do not want out, and we've got editors in every publishing house in New York City that make sure this kind of information never sees light of day." So I had to form my own company. I formed Consolidated Press, and I extracted enough out for the book Killzone. And then what was left over became the Medusa file. And so those two kind of go together. That's when everything started happening to me. And then, of course, the Oklahoma City bombing happened, and then TW-800 went down, and then we had the Amtrak derailment in Arizona, and it just one thing after another, and I was getting pulled in all these different directions by different people to help investigate these things. So that's pretty much where all of that started.
By the way, we're going to put on screen right now. You guys can punch up my computer, people watching on PrisonPlanet.tv, because that sounded crazier earlier. Our radio listeners, just type in Egyptian statues, DIA, Denver International Airport, and there's Anubis, again, over 100 feet tall. And last time I flew in there, they had a whole bunch of these obelisk and weird. And I said, "What's that about?" And the security people said, "Don't ask questions." So it's like, why do you have Nazis killing children on the walls and Egyptian gods everywhere? And they say, like Colonel Roberts said, that don't ask questions.
Yeah.
So, I mean, whatever weirdness they're involved in out there, I just want to show people watching on PrisonPlanet.tv that so they wouldn't think that we were crazy.
Well, these people are occultic. They're Luciferians. The Council of 13 is all Luciferian. And, you know, Lucifer is their god. They don't believe in Satan. They believe in Lucifer, the god of light. Or the angel of light.
Well, the head of the UN Planetary Initiative, David Spangler, said, "You will accept a Luciferian pledge or we will kill you. Once the world government's set up, you will worship Lucifer or you're dead."
Yeah. Well, they think that's where they get their power. And, you know, you mentioned earlier about, all the blood in the streets that will happen if we have a civil war, a revolution, a race war, whatever. We've got to remember that these are the same people that want to kill off 80% of the human population. So they don't care.
In fact, they like it.
Yeah, they think that's a great plan. You know, they'd like us just to kill each other off.
Incredible. Colonel Roberts, any other points you'd like to make? Think about that in the time we have here with you today. Things that have been, you know, burrs in your saddle that you'd like to relay to a couple million people. The website's riflewarrior.com. Your books are there. It's excellent. But expanding on your story, that you told when, we got about 5-6 minutes in what's left of this segment because I skipped the break. Describe to people the experience you had when you died at the hospital, because people from every other culture, even people that aren't Christian, have that same experience. And if that doesn't get people's attention, I don't know what will. For all these people that are selling out to evil because they're these folks that think that you only live once and that there's no life after death and so what, just have fun, join the dark side, evil's cool. I want to give you the floor here until we go to the break, breaking down what happened to you. And I appreciate you telling the story. I know you're tired of telling it.
Well, it was in August of 97, and I had retired from the police department by then, and I ended up with colon cancer, and it metastasized and got pretty bad. They put me on chemotherapy, and the chemotherapy is really, I think, what basically did most of the damage. A few months into that, I hemorrhaged internally and started bleeding out internally, and my stomach hemorrhaged. And the ambulance took me to the hospital, and got to the emergency room, and they put me in a room there, and this one doctor came in that had worked on me before. I knew him, and he said, "Have you got a living will?" And I said, "No, I don't have a living will. I got a regular will." He said, "No, you're going to need a living will. That's because we're probably going to lose you tonight." And he said, "I said, no, you're not going to lose me tonight. I'm going to be fine." By then, my vision was fading. things are really going south, and they were hooking stuff up to me, putting tubes down my throat, and one thing led to another, and he had already told my wife that there's no way I was going to make it through the night. And they came in, they started putting that tube down my throat, and the next thing I knew, I flatlined. And immediately, I mean instantaneously, I'm sitting in this nice, cool room. It's dark. I can't really see anything. I just know that I'm in this area, you know. I'm sitting down. I'm comfortable. I felt like I was 23 years old in perfect health. I knew my guardian angel was standing right behind me. And he was talking to me, but it was thoughts going into my mind. It was like telepathy. I was getting all this information. I knew I had come through some kind of a portal to my left, and there was one that would open up to my right that I would go through to go to the next stage, whatever that was. And that was evidently where I was going to meet relatives and friends who had gone before me. That was going to be heaven. I also knew that in front of me, like in the floor out there somewhere, a pit would open up. And if a decision was made that that's the direction I was going in, it was absolutely terrifying that was there. That was hell. And I was told of several things, and one of the things was get off of the poison. In other words, stop the chemo and trust in God. God will heal you. And, you know, that I had to change a lot of things, that I had to change my diet. I had to change a lot of things I was doing and do things different. And so on and so forth. And then all of it, I did not care about this life at all. It's like leaving the kitchen and going in the living room. You don't care about the kitchen anymore. It meant nothing to me anymore. Time meant nothing to me anymore. And then all of a sudden, bang, I wake up. I felt like I was gone about 3 full minutes. It was 18 hours later. And I'm in an ICU, and they've got, you know, IVs on me and stuff, and they paged the doctor, and he came in, you know, and he said, "We lost it. You flatlined." He said, "We were getting ready to unhook you when we got a heartbeat. You were gone 3 minutes." Of course, I wasn't conscious after.
And I'm going from memory. You also, I mean, from memory, I think it happened a couple times, correct? It was back and forth?
What was?
I'm just going from memory from the story. So you were gone, and they got you back.
Yeah, they didn't get me back. I was sent back. They gave up. I flatlined, and they tried to resuscitate. They tried, I don't know if they did the defibrillator. I don't know. All I know is they were unhooking me and declaring me dead when all of a sudden they got a heartbeat. And that's when I was sent back, because my mission here was not finished. The aftermath of this, by the way, is I was sent back to the oncologist to start chemo again, and I walked in and on a Friday, and this is after I went through 30 days of physical therapy and a week and a half in ICU. I finally got home and was able to move again after 30 days of physical therapy, and I got, because I couldn't even get off the couch, I was so weak, I was down to 160 pounds, and I got went to see the oncologist, and he said, "We'll start you on chemo on Monday, be here at 9 o'clock, blah, blah." I said, "I'm not going to do it. I'm not taking any more of your poison." And he looked at me, and he just, I swear, Alex, it was like a movie is out of Hollywood. His face got demonic, and he had this horrible, hateful scowl on his face, and he growled, and he said, "If you don't, you'll be dead in 6 months, and no one can stop it." And I just stood up, and I said, I'm gonna be around a long time, Doc. A lot longer than
you. Yeah, tell, I mean, because you abbreviated it, tell the part about the data you were given, and the fact that, I mean, like, you could tell decisions were being made and that you were sent back.
Yeah, the decisions were being made whether or not to take me on or send me back, and the decisions were made to send me back. But I was told that I would meet people that I could talk to and tell them things that it may not mean anything to me, but it would mean something to them. And that also I would be able to tell when things were going to happen before they happened. You know, just a bad feeling that something was going to happen in a given part of the country, even on the highway,
and
I was driving down.
And again, you couldn't see the angel, but you knew the presence was there and that it had been there your whole life.
Right, right. He'd been with me in Vietnam. Everybody has one. Every one of you people out there have a guardian angel, whether you want to believe that or not, and they're there. And if you just listen to them, because that's the good side of your conscience talking to you. And you also have a demon that tries to follow you around occasionally, and he's the one that tries to influence you to do the stuff you know you're not supposed to do. God gives us the choice of picking one or the other. He gives us that choice. You can pick anything you want, but later on, you're going to answer for it.
And John Bowne, out there running the board, he told me this a long time ago, died and had the same experience, just remembers the, you know, the calm place, the angel, and then they got him back to life, or God sent him back. Incredible. We'll spend five more minutes with you, Colonel, on other tidbits. We have another guest coming up. Always amazing.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
It's always great having him on. We only got 5 minutes left. Colonel Craig Roberts, riflewarrior.com. I'm Alex Jones of Infowars.com. Craig, we got 5 minutes left. What else is on your radar? What else are you looking at and investigating right now? And what do you see happening out in the future with the way things are going?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question because I ask myself the same thing all the time. It's kind of interesting that we have this 12/21 of 12, where the Mayan calendar ends, and a lot of people are preparing for the end of the world and this, that, and the other. I think that psychologically, powers that be could use that to their advantage, you know, somehow. I don't know. You never know what these people are thinking. They're so devious, and, you know, what their plans are. But everybody says that I talk to, all my contacts, they say, we think something is going to happen before the election. We really think, especially if Romney shows in the polls that he's ahead, not that, you know, and you and I both know it doesn't matter who votes, it matters who counts the votes, like Stalin said. So I don't trust the media being involved in our voting for, you know, any office or anything, because they can announce anything they want. But if we did have an honest election, and Obama was feared that he was falling too far behind in the polls, wasn't going to be able to get reelected, there's no telling what he might try to pull as far as the finances, as far as the banks, as far as the food supplies, as far as martial law. We don't know. But, you know, when his justice, or Department of Injustice, I'll call it, puts out all this information to law enforcement agencies saying if they got an NRA sticker, they're a terrorist. If they're a Republican, they're a terrorist. If they're right wing, they're a terrorist. If they're a combat veteran, they're a terrorist. If they were in Iraq, they're a terrorist, and so on. So, and this, you know, they're calling everybody a terrorist except themselves.
Because they're the terrorist.
Because they're the terrorist. And they are terrorists because they are violating constantly the law and committing treason on a daily basis in our Congress.
And shipping guns to Mexico to blame the Second Amendment, that's a false flag.
Oh, sure it is. And all of our politicians in Congress won't do a thing about it. They sit on their hands, and they're just a bunch of weak sisters. You know, they could impeach this guy, but they won't. So, you know, who knows?
Well, Romney won't even criticize the health care thing now. He's saying, oh, it's not a tax, it's a penalty. And the word is more and more, he is going to basically win, but they're going to try to steal it. And then he knows just to sit down and take it because he's bought and paid for by the same interest. But, you know, and again, I never believe in lesser of two evils. But, man, I got to tell you, things are moving at warp speed under Obama.
Oh, yeah. Every day is a new awakening of something, you know, breaks loose. And, you know, the feeling all the way across this country in general is that there's a storm on the horizon and they can already see the lightning.
Exactly. Wow. So how do we avert a civil war? But at the same time, we can't just become slaves. I mean,
I don't think we're going to have a civil war. You might have pockets of rebellion, but there's no communications. There's no groups. There's no leaders. There's no movement, so to speak. You've got everybody wanting to take care of their families or their own little neighborhood or whatever, and that's just about as far as it goes. But what happens when they bring blue hats in to come out and start kicking people's doors in, then something might get organized.
And that's why they've got all the army brigades, which they admit in the John Warner Defense Authorization Act, to go after the states. But that's not going to work. That's going to unify people if they try that.
Well, sure. It's never worked anywhere. But they don't care. You know, they'll try it because they're going to be someplace else sitting it out anyway. They're not going to be here. So, you know, we're just going to have to wait and see what unfolds. And it could be a financial collapse. It could be devaluation of the dollar. It could be China calling in their debt.
World War III, they're trying to get the Russians in a fight.
Well, yeah, and, you know, attacks on Iran by Israel, and we got to pick sides. So, I mean, it could be a lot of things. And, you know, with Obama siding with the PLO and the, you know, all those Middle Eastern terrorist organization.
Al Qaeda. They're using Al Qaeda.
Well, yeah. I mean, you got Hamas, you got PLO, you got all those different organizations that crop up overnight. And it's
stay there, guys. Craig. I want to see what's happening with this next guest. I want to get your take on them openly using Al Qaeda in Libya and Syria now, just briefly.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, we got the CEO from the GMO Mosquito Company joining us here in just a few minutes, but I wanted to get Colonel Craig Roberts of RifleWarrior.com, best-selling author, researcher, retired police officer, helicopter pilot, all that, on with us to give us his take. Also, Army intelligence, his take on Obama and the globalists in NATO saying that the military's under their command now, Congress going along with it, and then publicly letting Al Qaeda have Libya and now using them against Syria and now putting in the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. What is the larger plan there, and how do they juxtapose? Give up all your rights because Al-Qaeda is hiding under your desk and the TSA needs to grow up your wife and daughter because Al-Qaeda might be in their pants, but Al-Qaeda is good and taking over these countries.
Well, my take on it, you know, my flags went up when they did Egypt and ended up with the Muslim Brotherhood getting a big chunk of the say-so on what goes on in Egypt. Because Egypt previously had been somewhat of an ally to us, and they weren't really a huge threat to Israel, and now they are, and they're not an ally of ours anymore. And then, of course, it went across North Africa, it hit Libya, and then you see the same groups with the same ties to the same people, basically back to Tehran, Iran, and they all have the same plan, and that basically is take over the entire planet and turn us Muslim and, you know, try to kill off everybody that's not Muslim or fails to pay their tax and convert. So that's the issue I've got is, why did we support any of these people? You know, we shouldn't have had anything to do with that except to protect on our own interest. It didn't make sense. So when you've got Hamas and you've got Al-Qaeda and you've got you know, these different splinter groups that get involved in overthrowing these governments over there that so far haven't been a threat, now they've become a threat.
So the larger strategy is what, in your view?
Well, I think the larger strategy is to put all these people under the same set of circumstances, same rules, so to speak, the same leadership, the same objectives, and so that they organize to get better. You know, most of the different peoples of the Middle East don't like each other, and it's hard to get them to organize to do anything. You know, the Iranians are Persian; they're not Arabs, and the Arabs are broken down into different factions, and the Egyptians aren't really Arabs. But when they use their saying, "The enemy of my enemy is my friend," then even if they're enemies, they would unite against us or the West or against Christianity or against Judaism. They would do that. That's the thing that pulls them together. And they are purely evil. That whole bunch is purely evil. You know, you don't see a lot of Christians taking hostages and cutting their heads off. I mean, you know, and so that should tell people something right there. And these are the very people that want to get the Sharia law going. They've taken over France. They've taken over Holland. They've taken over the U.K. They've got their own neighborhoods and courts and everything. And now they're taking over New York City and places up in Milwaukee or not Milwaukee.
Michigan. But Colonel, my point is this. The more modern, moderate Muslim countries are being overthrown and the globalists are putting the Al-Qaeda jihadis in, and that's the plan. I'm saying it's an organized clash of civilizations playing us off against each other, but this really does illustrate the whole war on terror is a fraud and was designed to take our basic liberties. RifleWarrior.com, it's always great to have you, and say hi to the family for me.
Will do it.
All right, there goes Colonel Craig Roberts. Known him about, I don't know, been interviewing him like 15, 16 years, but gotten to know him personally over the years. Really nice guy. Has a lot of interesting sources and just getting his take on everything. Okay, we are now joined by Hayden Perry. He's the CEO of Oxitec. He has a background in life as a science sector. And I'm not going to go over his huge bio, but he is the head He is the head of the company that all over the world, Australia, you name it, has developed these mosquitoes, GMO mosquitoes, to reduce the numbers of the mosquito that can carry the dengue fever. And they're wanting to release these in Florida. And a lot of people are up in arms about that. And, hey, we try to get folks on from the other perspective. And when they'll do it, they're here. So we can only say that we respect Hayden Perry for coming on. Mr. Perry, thank you for joining us from the UK.
No, it's a pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Wow, your Skype looks like you're sitting in the room next to me. All right, so tell us about yourself, the company, what this particular genetically modified mosquito does.
Sure, well, the company itself is a small UK company. We're about 40 people. We came out of Oxford University. What we have pioneered is a way of effectively producing sterile insects, and we focus on those species that either spread disease like dengue fever or that damage crops in terms of agriculture. So we've got two sides to what we do, both the public health side and the agriculture. The one that we're talking about here is the mosquito called Aedes aegypti, and it basically has come out of Africa. It spread itself around the world, and when you have Aedes aegypti in an urban environment and someone comes into that environment with dengue fever, then you have the conditions with which the dengue fever will spread from person to person, because dengue fever is only spread by the bite of a mosquito. And there's no vaccine, there's no medication for dengue fever. And quite frankly, chemicals have done a poor job in reducing the incidence, because this mosquito is very difficult to kill with insecticides, because it lives in and around your home.
Now, I know in places like Australia, from the numbers, you're the expert on this, a lot of people get dengue fever. Some do die. Yeah. But here in the U.S., what, 30 cases last year, 60 the year before that? I think it's zero so far with the mosquitoes. Why release these in Florida?
Well, it depends on what Florida wants to do. I mean, the reason that we were consulted by the Florida Keys mosquito folk is because Florida Keys did not have dengue for years and years. You have to go back 20, 30 years. I don't even remember the last case. And then in 2009, they got about 29 cases, and those were people who had not traveled. So in other words, they got dengue locally in the Keys. So what they did is they responded by, you know, very much increased manpower to carry out surveillance, remove breeding sources, carry out chemical treatments. They increased all of the levels of activity a huge amount. And the following year, they had about 67 cases, or there or thereabouts. So they hadn't managed to control it. Now, last year, thankfully, they had no cases at all, which is terrific. But the issue is, you need two things to come together. You need to have the mosquito already in your town, and you need then to have the virus come in. Now, the issue is, if you have the mosquito, then you have the conditions that are ready to spread the virus if it comes in. Now, last year, they didn't have the virus. That's good. But because Florida Keys has, I think it's around 3 million visitors a year, and a lot of those are going to come in from places like Puerto Rico or Cuba or around the Caribbean, then, you know, you are at risk.
What does dengue fever do to you?
It's flu-like symptoms. It's known as breakbone fever, which gives you a clue. It can be anything, actually, from asymptomatic all the way through up to hemorrhagic fever, where blood vessels burst, and shock syndrome, and then ultimately death. But normally speaking, people would have a very severe flu, severe headaches, feel as if their bones are breaking. It's very frightening and unnerving. It's not normally fatal, but it is very unpleasant.
All right. Well, you're very kind to join us here. Obviously, there's a controversy about having GMO spiders. People don't trust GMO because what we've seen from some of the big companies and the problems and the drug companies out there with all the scandals they're involved in, knowing their vaccines are causing convulsions, knowing that that the drug out there for asthma was really killing people and didn't help people. So that's why folks are concerned about this. I'm not saying there couldn't be things properly tested, GMO stuff that wouldn't be a problem, but we have a track record in the larger industry of basically being above the law. So I think that's why people are concerned. We appreciate you coming on to talk about this. Again, we have the CEO, Hayden Perry, of OxyTech, a company that produces these modified mosquitoes. Let's get into, we're about to go to break. Again, you're gracious to spend time with us in the evening over there in the UK. What are these mosquitoes? How are they changed? What do they do? How do they supposedly mitigate the dengue fever problem?
Okay, so how are they changed? What we've done is we've put a gene into these mosquitoes, and that gene causes the offspring, the next generation, to die. Now, there are two interesting facts about mosquitoes. Firstly is males don't bite you and males don't spread disease. And the second thing is that mosquitoes actually don't travel very far, so they travel about 200 yards in their life. So what we do is we have mosquitoes, we breed them, which are in effect sterile, so their offspring will not survive. We release males into the environment because males are the ones that are safe, they don't bite. They will mate with the females that are out there, and then instead of that female, which potentially could produce up to 500 live adults in her lifetime, those offspring will not occur. They will die before they reach adulthood. Mm. So effectively, it's birth control for insects is the sort of way to think about it.
Very interesting. We're going to go to a break here, and I want to come back and talk about specifically what you do, how you develop this, because I guess you guys are the patent holders for this particular type of technology.
Sure, we are, yeah.
Amazing. All right. Hayden Perry is here. All things dengue fever, mosquito eradication. We've got some news articles here we'll go over with him on the other side. And we'll also give you the website for OxyTech. It's oxytech.com if you want to go see their promo videos. Stay with us. OxyTech, a genetic engineering firm, I guess is the proper name for them. You can correct me if I'm wrong, has made big news. I mean, here it is in the current New Yorker magazine. It's got Obama as a doctor on the front. New York Times, just hundreds of publications. Big debate down there in Florida. And he's saying, hey, Florida wants the technology, they get it. Specifically, though, let me read to you out of New Yorker on page 44 in this current July 9th issue. It says environmentalists have expressed concern about what might happen if some of the modified females survive and while biting people injected them with an engineered protein. OxyTech separates males from females, but with so many mosquitoes, a few genetically modified females invariably slip by. OxyTech puts the number at about 1 in 3,000. This is a nightmare scenario, and we don't have any published data that answers the question. And I saw a quote in my stack here from someone at your company, it may have been you, correct me if I'm wrong, saying, hey, they're not going to pass any of their DNA or whatever onto you, or viruses, RNA. But I mean, doesn't a female mosquito bite you and inject saliva into you to liquefy before exsanguinating the delicious meal so she can produce her larva? I mean, you're saying there's no danger?
No, we're saying there's no danger, but I would also emphasize that everything we do, whenever we work in any country, we always work with the experts, whoever they may be, whether it's the Ministry of Health, whether it's a leading research institute, and we also always work with under whatever regulatory system there is. So you've always got an expert, an expert institution that we're working with, which is local, and you've always got the fact
but
that
you're the expert on these mosquitoes. I mean, I don't think there's anybody that knows more than you. Why do you say they're safe?
Okay, why do we say they're safe? Because firstly, the DNA, what we've done is we've put in two changes, if you like, to produce this sterility effect. Now, this protein that's expressed doesn't come up in the salivary glands of the female. You can't find it there. So you're not going to get any mosquito biting you and pass this protein. Even if you did, this protein, we've done very thorough studies on it, and it doesn't show up in any of the databases as an allergen or toxic or whatever. So it looks absolutely safe, and it's not in the salivary glands. And the other thing, which is a bit more anecdotal and less scientific, is obviously we work with them all the time, and we've all been bitten over and over again.
Well, I think that's probably is some of the better proof right there. I mean, the old-fashioned thing, nobody's getting sick there being bit. How do you feed these little buggers?
How do we feed them? In the lab, do you mean, in the production system?
Yes, I mean, do you throw like some poor dog in there? No, I'm joking. or do they just go to a Petri dish and ingest cow's blood? What is it?
Yeah, so we have blood that we get given to us, we buy, and then we create these. It's like a little plate, if you like, with a film over it, and then that plate is put on top of the cage. You can put some CO2, some carbon dioxide into the cage.
Because they track off that, right?
Yeah, they track off. Females are attracted to the pheromones that we give off. They're attracted to the carbon dioxide that we give off. They're attracted to sort of those factors. So if you give them a source of blood, you give them a couple of signals. Like
sounds like bureaucrats.
CO2.
Sounds like tax collectors.
Yes, well, I can't comment on that.
Okay, so this is intriguing. What kind of blood do you feed them?
Horse, normally.
Ah, horse. Is this taken fresh from the horses, or is it at a French restaurant you get it from?
No, it would be taken from a particular source. I'm not close enough, to be honest. I'd need to get one of my guys to give you an answer to that. But basically, it's a controlled source.
You're not getting them from the Queen of England who's got toddlers strung up by their ankles, are you?
No, nor from anyone's favorite racehorse.
Okay.
Yeah, no.
I'm sorry. I talk bad about the Queen. I want to apologize for that now. Hey, the Diamond Jubilee just happened. Are you still celebrating?
Oh, yeah. We have to celebrate all year. It's mandatory or else we get exported.
Here's something else, man. All right, listen, we're going to go to break. A longer segment coming up. I want to give you the floor to talk about why you think this is safe, where you're doing it, some of the other mosquitoes you're working on, and the rest of it. And for those that don't know, there are a lot of other companies. I know decades ago they had GMO larvas to kill the fire ants. Maybe you can tell us, because I know you're a scientist who studies bugs and have a lot of them working for you. What other kind of GMO bugs are out there? I think we should go in that direction. But Hayden Perry came on. He's very confident, and he's a good salesman. In fact, I'm ready to wade into a bunch of these mosquitoes right now. I'm going to snort them.
Pienso que un sueño parecido no volverá más. Y me pintaba las manos y la cara de azul. Y de provisa el viento rápido.
I'm Alex Jones. We're joined by Hayden Perry, CEO of Oxitec. And I've got the New York Times here. Concerns are raised about genetically engineered mosquitoes. I've got some of the quotes here. The Oxitec technique, however, is not foolproof. Alfred M. Handler, geneticist at the Agriculture Department in Gainesville, Florida, said the mosquitoes, while being bred for generations in a lab, can evolve resistance to the lethal gene and might then be released inadvertently. Or what about mutations? Todd Shelley, an entomologist for the Agriculture Department of Hawaii, said in a commentary published on Sunday by Nature Biotechnology that 3.5% of the insects in the lab test survived to adulthood despite presumably carrying the lethal gene. I think the concern here, Hayden, is how does the gene cut off the life cycle or sterilize? What does it do in these? Because, you know, we have the UN and all these other people, the science czar at the White House, saying we want to put stuff in the food and water to sterilize or reduce population. That seems to be the Moonraker, you know, dream of these neo-eugenicists. That's kind of the in trendy thing. I don't know. I mean, you're from a big university of science. I don't know if you've hung out with the trendies. What's your view on world population? You know, I just see a children of men scenario. If it's not from your mosquito, there's so many of these bugs, insects, being released, spider goats, everything else, human genes and cows so they can get organs. I mean, I'm already seeing problems from GMO. I mean, do you get some of the apprehension out there that people have, or should we just embrace it right now and just inject ourselves with mosquito genetics?
No, I think what we have as societies, we have a number of challenges in all walks of life. And I think what we try and do is to innovate, to make things safer, to make them more environmentally sustainable. And I think that's what we're seeing here. I mean, at the end of the day, what are we doing at the moment about mosquitoes? We produce chemicals, which are like a blanket bombing approach. We swamp the place with chemicals. At the same time as we're trying to take out the dengue mosquito, we're also taking out umpteen other species, which do no harm at all and also disrupt the food chain.
And bioaccumulates in us. Oh, I agree that...
And accumulates. So, you know, we are already carrying out a very, well, I would call fairly brutal way of trying to solve a particular problem spread by one mosquito, which is in and around the home. And also we're not being successful because this mosquito, despite best efforts, is not controlled. So if anyone wants to look at the Florida Keys website, you'll see that even now, one in five houses, they find this particular mosquito in, despite all the best efforts. And down in the Keys, you've probably got one of the best mosquito control teams around. You know, we work with people in a number of different countries. These are top-class guys, and they've got the resources, and they find it very, very difficult to control this mosquito.
I was about to say, a lot of these lobbies out there would make more money using poison. So, I mean, I would imagine there are some lobbies out there that probably are more than happy to demonize your program because it would probably be much cheaper to use the genetic warfare aspect than chemical warfare.
Well, I think our approach will be cheaper than chemicals, but I think it will also be more effective, and I think it'll be much better for the environment because we're like a sort of sniper's rifle, if you like. We're only looking to take out the one insect that's causing the problem, and that insect shouldn't be there. It should not be in the Keys. It should not be in the States. It came from Africa.
How did it get over in a load of lumber or something? Or they don't know?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, mosquito eggs are fantastically transportable and they're really resilient. So if you have freight going onto a boat coming out of Africa and moving across the States, or it's coming from Cuba or Puerto Rico, wherever it's coming from, and you have mosquitoes laying eggs in and around that freight because there's some standing water, those mosquito eggs will be there and they will come over and they will get unloaded. And the other way you transport mosquitoes is through planes. I mean, we've all been in an aeroplane, and as you're coming into land, the people come through and spray insecticides. You know, that's how we transport them around. We have changed our environment by bringing these mosquitoes in. And I reckon, you know, our method is we are just focusing on the one mosquito that's causing the problem.
Well, you seem like a nice enough fella, but I mean, you can see why people get concerned when, I mean, explain exactly what this does to the mosquito, because you put them on antibiotics. I mean, explain what's happening here.
Oh, okay. Well, there's two different things. The way in which this mosquito, this mosquito has a gene that when it's inherited by the offspring, results in the offspring dying before they get to adulthood. Basically, it disrupts the way in which the cells grow. Now, of course, if you have that in a mosquito and it can't get to adulthood, then the next question is, well, how on earth can you create enough mosquitoes to put them out into the environment? So the system has a way in which we can block that effect. So we can actually feed these mosquitoes in the production environment with a chemical called tetracycline. That actually suppresses the lethal effect, and it does it through a molecular blocking effect. It doesn't do it because it's an antibiotic. It's a pure sort of lock and key molecular effect. So in the laboratory or the lab, you can actually effectively give these mosquitoes an antidote. You can create large numbers of them, and then you can withdraw that. And for the generation that you're going to release, you just release the males. They don't have access to the tetracycline in the open environment. And by definition, then they're sterile. They're carrying that gene.
So they go out and breed with the females.
Yeah, they go out and breed with the females, and every time they breed with a female, instead of that female having 70 to 100 eggs each time and up to 500 in their lifetime, then they won't produce viable offspring. Now, if you keep releasing the males over a period of time, then you'll bring that population right down. But you won't be affecting other mosquitoes. You won't be affecting other insects like you would with an insecticide. So it's species specific.
I got to tell you, just my gut with these hundreds of companies, you know, developing different insect-based systems. And I mean, look, you saw it come out with GlaxoSmithKline this week with a whole bunch of their drugs. They knew they were killing people. They knew some drugs weren't even helping people and were only hurting them. It was all a big joke. You've got Merck. And I know these are big, giant, faceless companies. You're the head of your small company. You're coming on. You believe in your product. I don't think you're a bad guy. But you've got these faceless bureaucracies, Merck, you know, caught with its vaccines, knowing it's giving people measles, mumps, rubella in the shot, killing people in cases. You got Bayer knowing HIV and hepatitis is in the factor VIII for 11 years, shipping it out worldwide. It's that cold-blooded, really craziness of these companies. And now we see it with the big GMO companies and clear connections to problems. You know, the honeybees can't eat it, but we supposedly can eat it. You know, it's got its own pesticide. Oh, it's natural, but it's 1,000 times stronger. All these gut disorders. Something is wrong. And I think part of it is the pesticide load in the environment. Undoubtedly, autism is a cocktail. It's linked to that. So I'm not just here blaming GMO. My issue is when Bill Gates is running around releasing mosquitoes at events and funding mosquitoes, forcefully inoculating you and giggling about it, that's why people are really scared of this. I understand you're a smaller company that's developed this, and I don't want to get you in trouble with potential funders like Herr Gates, but I mean, certainly you've, I would imagine your company's probably been contacted. You've probably been, you had people bring this up to you, these points I'm raising.
Yeah, sure. Just let me also make one sort of distinction, I suppose. We're a company that came out of Oxford University, and we are a small company. We haven't got the resources of the big guys and the GlaxoSmithKline, which means we can't do everything indoors. We can't do it all ourselves. So that means we always work with other institutions. So we work, for example, in Malaysia directly with the Ministry of Health. We work in Panama with the Gorgas Institute, which is one of the sort of world-leading mosquito research institutes. So we always work with leading institutes. So that gives a measure of comfort because there's nothing sort of, as I would say, there's no sort of closed doors. And we also work in a very sort of transparent and
sure, it's
way.
Like you've got BP ordering the drilling company to pour water in. And the company said it will blow up. And they said, we want to save money. So it blew up. You're saying that there is you know, basically a committee process and there's a lot of different people looking at it. It's not just a corporate CEO saying, do this.
Yeah, it's not just us. You know, this is a new technology. So everybody, you know, if you get the science world and you get those people involved in these sorts of approaches, I mean, everybody does want a piece of the action. Everyone does want to understand it. They want to get their hands on it. So we work with the Pasteur Institute in France. And, you know, people say, can we have your mosquitoes? Can we do tests on them? The answer is basically, yes, you can. And that helps us as well because we're so small. We just can't do it all ourselves.
But certainly you've got to know that this is the type of technology a government could use or develop as something that renders humans basically stunted where we never were able to develop. That's almost the opposite of what they do in Brave New World.
Well, there's a big distinction. Can I answer a slightly different question,
sure.
Which is, you know, the approach that other companies or other people are taking around mosquitoes and just the whole sort out the whole GM insect piece. Now, obviously, mosquitoes spread disease like malaria, dengue fever. We know that. Now, clearly, there are researchers all the way around the world thinking there's got to be a better way than just throwing out lots of chemical. And so what you have there is you have a lot of people working on different methods. Now, you'll get one guy who will say, well, okay, I've got a clever idea. Let's suppose I could make the dengue mosquito not catch the virus itself, because if it can't get the virus, it can't transmit it. So someone will work on a genetic change that will be looking to stop the mosquito getting a virus, or looking to stop it developing it, or look, or finding another way to shorten its life cycle. You'll get a whole series of different sort of strategies, all sort of coming in this area. And there's a fundamental difference between us and all of those, because all of those strategies center on making some sort of change that persists. So in other words, people are working on ideas that say, if I can make a mosquito less susceptible to disease, then by definition it won't spread viruses, etc. But to get that out, to make that effective, you've got to actually change the mosquito species. You've got to push that out.
You're just eradicating them.
And we're not, and we're not eradicating them. And we're not spreading a gene through the environment, either through time and generation.
Well, then what do you call it then, if you're reducing?
Well, what we're doing, I'd call it elimination, because you imagine our approach. We put out every mosquito we put out, it's only going to fly 200 yards. They don't fly any further. Normal ones don't. What GMOs don't. They're all the same. They don't fly very far. Imagine two towns next door to each other, exactly the same. And imagine we release our mosquitoes in town A, and not in town B. Well, what's going to happen? We release our males in town A. They're going to mate with the females. No offspring. We're going to keep releasing. They bring the dengue mosquito population right down. What's the effect in town B, where we're not releasing? Answer, nothing. Because these mosquitoes, they only do two things. They go out, mate with a female and die, and the offspring die. Or they go out, they don't find a female, they die. That's it. Now, I do understand the concern very much with any form of new technology, which is why I think external scrutiny and regulation is very important. But I also understand, you know, when you get to GM crops, what you've actually got with a GM crop is you're giving the crop some kind of advantage. You're giving it a way of protecting itself from insect attack or from a herbicide. You're giving it some natural advantage, and then you are propagating that down the generations. What are we doing? We're doing the opposite. We're giving the insect the biggest disadvantage it can get, which is not being able to breed effectively. So ours is a very sort of limited, targeted type of approach. And fundamentally, that puts us in a very different camp to everybody else.
Oh, no, I understand. That's why this is so intriguing. But, I mean, certainly, I mean, you've worked in a university environment, and a lot of this came out of England. You've certainly heard all these calls to artificially make people not reproduce at the current levels because, quote, the earth is overpopulated. So can you imagine how this creeps people out, hearing about this technology in mosquitoes?
I can. I mean, I think all technology, until it's understood, has elements of uncertainty.
Sure. What is your view on world population?
My view is these things tend to be self-balancing, actually. I think as you increase, I mean, what history shows is that as countries increase in prosperity and the actual birth rate tends to go down because your confidence in the survival of your children goes up. And then you move from sort of the basic instinct of needing your children to survive to actually giving them a better education.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, Europe's 1.3 now. U.S. is similar. Russia's dying. Japan's dying. We've got the opposite problem. I mean, the West is not going to be here in 100 years.
Well, we're certainly going to be outcompeted by the Chinese. That's for certain, both technically and economically.
Well, that's right. We always talk about what England, the U.S., Europe's doing with genetic engineering. The real revolution's in China, isn't it?
The real revolution's in China, and you've got countries like Brazil. I mean, that is a staggering environment. We do a lot of work in Brazil. We've done a lot of this mosquito work in Brazil. But the sort of go-ahead attitude, the quality of the science out of there, the number of academic papers coming out, the whole just vital economy.
Yeah, I'm going to make a prediction.
These guys are on a roll.
I'm going to say this now, though. A lot of people in your line of work obviously mean well and want to save the world, but I'm just going to say it right now, studying history. There are already disasters being caused by all this untested out there, and statistically it's not going to be your mosquitoes. And I'm predicting mega disaster within 10 years out of all this GMO. And I just hope we survive. Because if you got 10,000 companies pell-mell with gene guns splicing everything in the world open air, it's only a matter of time till big trouble comes out of all this.
Well, I think, okay, I'm not going to defend an entire industry. I defend ourselves, but I'm not going to defend anyone else. But if you look at something like GM crops, there were huge claims made about how that was going to cause problems in a whole series of areas. And I think there's been now, I saw a paper the other day saying something like 3 trillion meals have been eaten containing food that contains, that came from a GM crop.
Sure, but that becomes a PR debate. We've got massive evidence it's causing problems.
If you get the claim and counterclaim. I think what, at the end of the day, one does with these things is you've got to make sure your scientific scrutiny is top-notch, as good as you can do it. You make sure you understand your risks and you make sure you understand your benefits. And you also say, well, what else am I doing? You know, am I happy with what I'm doing?
Hayden Perry, I've got one more question for you when we come back. Sure. Stay there. Folks can go to the website, oxytech.com. They've got little vampire flying insects there available. Okay, Hayden Perry, you got cut off by the break. Go ahead and finish your point, sir.
I've completely forgotten what point I was making. Can you remind me?
You were just getting into the fact that GMO has just been absolutely wonderful.
No, I wasn't. What I was basically saying is that you get claim and counterclaim in any of these things. There's a lot of science that says that GM crops are very, very safe. They've done a lot in terms of reducing pesticides use. And they're very safe to humans. And that's the vast bulk of the scientific argument.
All the Roundup Ready stuff, that's most of the GMO out there. It means more chemicals.
It means less. I mean, I'm certainly not one to defend Monsanto and Roundup. But actually, if you look at the environmental effect of spraying Roundup on a maize field, comparing to spraying the old maize selective herbicides, Roundup is genuinely better. But, I think Monsanto can defend themselves. They don't need me to.
Well, listen, here's my last question. I saw news headlines. Mosquito tests may occur without permit. This is out of the local newspaper there, The Citizen. What's happening right now? I mean, who decides whether you release these little creatures?
Well, that headline is nonsense. We would never go ahead without regulatory oversight. And we've said that, been in Florida Keys and said it. We've had a town hall meeting and we've said that. So what's happening right now? Right now, we have opened what they call a file with the SDA, with the FDA, Food and Drug Administration. And they are starting to look through the data we've given them and the dossiers we've given them. And they will come back to us to say whether the data is sufficient, whether they need more. And we'll start a process of, our views being challenged and tested and the data being scrutinized. And we go through that process. So I don't know how long that's going to take. And in fact, that's one of the questions we've asked. One of our questions is, how long does this take? And the answer is, no one knows. I mean, we go into that process and we come out at the other end at some point when they're satisfied.
There's
no way we release without going through and coming out the other side of that process. There'd be absolutely no point.
All right. Well, Hayden Perry, CEO of Oxytech, oxytech.com. Folks can find out more. You've got some videos explaining it all there. I appreciate you coming on and giving us your perspective on the other side of this. My gut tells me that all of this is going to end up basically with the fate of Atlantis. And I'm not against technology. I just think it's all moving forward so quickly, and the track records we've seen that we're flirting with disaster. But we'll see what happens. Thank you for joining us.
We'll see what happens. Thank you, Alex.
All right, there he goes from the UK. Very nice to spend that much time with us. Now, there is a lot we're going to be covering, obviously, on the nightly news tonight, I should add, but we'll just have that posted at prisonplanet.tv. Going to have some big breaking news there. I don't have time to get into it all, but I really differ with his claim of, you know, no big problems with GMO. The mainstream media won't cover what's happened, but we know. I mean, we know the inserts of the vaccines, it says, causes cancer, can kill you, narcolepsy, epilepsy, yada, yada, yada. And then the vaccine people go on national TV and say, there are no side effects. And then now they're having to go, oh, well, it did cause some people to have seizures and die, but it's, you know, Gardasil is killing some people, but it's okay. And then it turns out this stuff doesn't even protect you. Well, I knew that 5 years ago. It said on the insert, doesn't protect you from it. In the case of Gardasil or any of this, it's all in the fine print, folks. And this guy may mean well. And I'm not saying there is a technology out there. But this playing God is going to really cause us problems.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.